Blog Talk Radio.
Oh,
Hello, everybody. How's it going? This is Psychic X Journeyman here on Psychic X Journeyman's Talk Radio. How you doing? The show is actually called Psychic X Journeyman's Spiritual Link Talk Radio here on Block Talk Radio. Welcome to the show, and how are you? It's been one of those situations where you sort of look at everything going, wow, it's been crazy, hasn't it? Got some fires going here in Colorado, down here where I'm actually living at, where you actually saw the smoke. It was like a mile or two away. It was really crazy. It's kind of crazy, fantastic, and it was the ideal of looking at the situation, people freaking out. You know, people looking at you going, aren't you freaked out about the whole thing? No. And I was like, am I supposed to? That was the crazy thing about it, isn't it? Anyway, here, let's see. We have a person with us right now. I'm trying to get this thing to work. Here we go. It's kicking. Dee, are you there?
No. Of course I'm here.
Okay, we'll just put you back on silent.
Yeah, right. Me silent? I don't think so.
So, how's things been going with you?
Up and down, and God only knows, but I'm still standing. So that's a good thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's been interesting. But I'm hanging in there.
Well, hanging in there, I usually have a tendency to get to a fully, you're no longer hanging.
Well, it's hot enough here today, anyway. And I live on the ocean, and it's still freaking hot.
Freaking hot? Well, that's good. Freaking hot's good.
No, I like it a little cooler.
Actually, here it's only 87 degrees. Huh? Here on the East Coast, it's like on the East Coast, it's between 90 and 113.
Oof. I must be in the area where it's about 90 because it's wicked.
Okay, well, we got someone else with us.
That's why I'll do well in Ireland because it's not so hot over there in the summer.
Yeah, well, we got somebody else with us too. April, it's April Angel Medium. She's a fantastic psychic from the East Coast. How's it going with you? Thank you for being a guest on our show tonight.
Thank you for having me.
Hi, April.
Hi, Dee. So, is it a busy queue tonight?
Say it one more time.
Is the queue busy tonight?
Is the queue?
Oh, a lot of people in the queue.
Well, it's a queue, because I could hear the last part, but the first part sounded a little fuzzy, okay? Sorry. Are there a lot of people in the queue? I'm sorry, guys. That's my business. I'm going to keep it to myself, okay? So you guys won't get overwhelmed by thinking, ooh, there's too many people and that kind of stuff. I just want you guys to think, I just want you to focus on the person that we're talking to at the moment, okay?
Okay.
Jeez. As if I'm going to freak out. Nah.
I don't know. It's not the idea of freaking out. It's just the idea of the situation and that kind of stuff. That's just the way I feel like I should proceed tonight, so that's what we're going to do. All right, so, it's like nothing there. It's just that was the guidance I got, so that's what I'm going to go with. So how was your rain there for a while for D?
Oh, it was lovely. Oh, you mean doing the show or the actual physical rain? Because we've had bad weather here. I had to shut the show down early last
night. No, I'm talking about
the one. Early last night. Because of the, we were having problems. I couldn't hear Cheyenne co-hosted with me. I couldn't hear her. I could hear her. She couldn't hear me. She did a reading for somebody. But she couldn't hear me say anything. And I guess he couldn't either. And somebody else was on. And I tried to reach him and had no luck. Offered to call him and give him a reading. And finally tried to decide, well, I'll call him, and then he never answered, so it was really weird.
All right.
And then we did have a really bad thunderstorm here.
Okay. I just want to remind you, we only got 3 hours. What I want to hear about, okay, this is what I want to hear. You were in charge of the radio show. I want to hear about the good moments. That's the good moments.
Good moments?
I'm pretty sure you had some good moments, right?
No, yeah, we had some very good moments. The first time around, I was floundering a little, and then somebody named Prem came in and joined me, and we we started talking and did some good readings. And when Cheyenne came on, we talked about animal totems. And there were several people that came on, and we gave them some really good readings. Yeah, it was fun.
Okay. So let's take the next thing. Okay, let's take the next step and look at the situation and go, okay, tell everybody about who you are, what you do for what your readings and your jewelry and that kind of stuff. And then I'm going to go to April Angel Medium and introduce her and tell her to give us a little bio of her and who she is and what she does. And then she can also be,
okay.
they can also see her on Facebook. And she's always having specials from time to time. Fantastic lady.
Okay. If you're interested in having a reading from me, you can contact me at spiritwindthemessenger@hotmail.com. Spiritwindthemessenger is my full psychic name. Or you can call me at 207-374-5072. I'm a clairvoyant, clairaudient, claircognizant, bunch of stuff, as well as a light worker healer. So if you're interested in having a healing, like distance healing, I can do that. Also, if you're looking for a phone reading, I have a suggested donation price of $60 for an hour's worth of time. But if you're interested in like 15, 20 minutes or 45, whatever, we can work on that. Also,
mm-hmm.
I do email readings, and those are, I suggest $20 for a donation. But like I've always said before, I'll work with your budget. Just bring your offer to the table, and we'll work on it. I take PayPal. And if you're interested in some jewelry, my business name is Dreamweaver Designs, and for now you can contact me at my Spirit Wind email, and I can email you some pictures to give you an idea of what I do. All my jewelry is made with things like zircon beads, so I use amethyst, moss agate, aquamarine, kyanite, all kinds of good stones, and I use sterling silver pendants, stone pendants, and Hill Tribe silver handmade by the Hill Tribes people in Thailand. And if you're interested in some chakra jewelry, just contact me. We'll work something out. I make necklaces, bracelets, and earrings, and we'll work out, for a necklace, if you want just a one strand, or if you want two or three, how many, the length and all that stuff. We'll work everything out and some idea of what you'd like for a design. And I take PayPal for everything I do so we can discuss the prices, and I look forward to reading for you.
Really? How do you spell
tight?
How do you spell tight? I got it. I'm trying to figure. It's like amazing when you sit and try to write something, and all of a sudden it's like you go blank.
That happens.
Okay, Boy Joy Medium. How are you? How you doing? And tell us a little bit about who you are and how people can contact you to get readings and healing sessions from you. Now, by the way, your Facebook is really nice and really done well. Very professional.
Okay. Well, I'm working on a new website, and I'm doing a lot of marketing, and I've just been working on it for about 24 hours. You can contact
okay.
me through my Facebook, which is www.facebook.com/AprilAngelPsychic. And I have some videos and blogs that I'm working on. I do clairvoyant readings, and I use tarot cards to help speed the process along. I talk to spirit guides, and I do a lot of energy work and energy healing. So if you want, I also do instruction on Skype. And if you want to get a reading from me, it's 99 cents a minute on Skype, or $25 for 30 minutes prepaid. Also, my website that I'm working on is www.aprilangelpsychic.com, but it takes about 2 days for the .com to kick in. What else? I think that's it. I do healing and readings and instruction.
Okay. Which really looks, from what I can see, look really good. Also, the thing I've noticed the most people want to get really, really are fascinated with, the ideal people they work with and that kind of stuff, is what kind of person are they? So what kind of person are you?
Well, I used to be a customer, a regular customer. I'm really caring and compassionate, and I want to see the customer satisfied. And I know what it's like to receive a reading, to be on the receiving end, so I know what people want and what they're expecting.
Okay. No, I understand that, April. I understand your caring compassion. No, what I mean by people want to know who they're working with, then the ideal, you see a customer, you know where they're coming from, that's great. What they want to know is who you are. You know, like, for example, you say you're Wiccan.
I'm a Capricorn.
You're what?
A Capricorn.
Yeah, you're a Capricorn, you're a Baptist, Christian, what are you?
I don't have a religion.
Okay, but you have a preference. You have
religion called war.
What? Here's a question for you. What brought you to the point of actually doing this kind of work? Why do you want to do this kind of work for? I know you're compassionate and caring, and you want to help people. But I'm saying, what happened in your life? What happened in your life that changed you to where you want to sit there and go, okay, it's helped people come to a point in their lives where they can actually experience a happy, productive, and walk away from things and realize they do have control of their lives.
Well, when I was younger, it started off where I was very open-minded due to some paranormal experiences I had, seeing things move by themselves and different vision quests that I had while I was sleepwalking. And, I've never been a skeptic. And when I was younger, I was more caught up into the magical aspect of things. Ooh, make things happen, control stuff around you. And then when I got older, I went through a lot of trauma of being an outcast, emotional pain, depression, going through lots of therapy and counseling. And I'm compassionate for anyone else who's going through that, who thinks that life sucks and they just want to die. I want to help them be happy.
And how do you think it's going to affect you in the long run, too?
It's very fulfilling and rewarding, and it fills a void in yourself when you can help someone else.
Do you think in the process of doing readings and working with the people, you also find more things about yourself, so it's like a discovery for both of you?
Yeah. Well, I've heard of that, but it's not like really ringing that true in my life right now. I discover stuff about myself when I read for myself more than when I read for other people, but I see what you're coming from.
Yeah, because I was literally the situation, and I know for a fact with the readings I do, they all have a tendency to reflect, and they all have a tendency to reflect what's going on in my life and the process of answers and solutions and that kind of stuff. And the only time I don't learn anything from a reading is when I don't listen to myself. Because in the process of doing readings, I think, anyway, that when you do readings for other people, you're listening to yourself at the same time, because you're picking the information up from their spirit guides, the angels, whatever's around you, so you're wide open. So you're going to see yourself. I think it's kind of a rewarding thing. Sometimes it's not something we really want to see, but it always seems to be something that I needed to see, which helped me change. And I think in the process of doing readings, that the realizations have a tendency to come quicker. So this is something you've started doing, and you're taking this on full speed in a whole bit, right? So you've changed, because it's like what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to sit there and help people understand, yeah, you're pretty new at this, but not really. It's just that getting it all together. Now you finally are heading forward full steam. So you're putting yourself in the position to say, okay, whoever comes at me, whoever comes to help me, I guarantee you, when they walk away, they'll have a life-changing experience that will actually make, you know, the idea of fulfillment being happy, that you feel like you can actually do that. You can give the answers and the insights to help those people go, my life, how I put this, okay, for example, when I used to do readings, when I was doing readings in my shop and stuff, my friend was telling me all the time that she said that I had to have tissue paper next to my desk, and because everybody who walked away was crying. It's a releasement. And it's the idea of going deep within somebody to help them realize what they need to let go of and doing that. And then in the process of doing that, I also did the same thing for myself. So it was a very emotional situation, and everybody always hugged me when they left. And it was never one of those things of give me a hug. It was just this experience that happened. And it's one of the greatest things in the world. And I was just saying, maybe you haven't experienced those yet. But it's the idea to help everybody out there who's listening right now that is your goal. Correct?
Yep.
So in the situation of Yelp, I'm saying people are kind of like, I think people on the end of their seats go like, okay, is she going to say anything else? You know, that's a experience where they're like, okay, I like to come. I've gotten a lot of readings from the show, and it seems like people come to me in the idea of compassion. So I was just saying, with the situation, I know you have compassion. I know how you care about people. And I'm just trying to, you know, it's like, I guess it was some kind of way of asking a question so you can convey it to everybody out there that will help them down the resistance to see if they're having any kind of wanting to work with you, why it would be rewarding and also be very important and to follow their intuition. Is there any words you could say to those people out there that are like, you know, saying those things like, okay, what could be the one thing that lit down my resistance to work with you?
I guess just feel if you feel a connection with my voice, or if you're getting a nudge from your spirit guide that you need to talk to me, because I communicate with the guides when I give the reading.
Now there's a good thing to talk about too, since you know this is like an interview, so everybody can get to know you. Now I'm pretty sure people are curious about one thing. You say that you can connect with their spirit guides. Now, I'm pretty sure people out there are very curious about how you do that and what the procedure is and how does that actually enhance the reading itself. Because most psychics don't usually work. They work with spirit guides and they work with angels and that kind of stuff, but not like you do. You have a tendency to work one-on-one with a client and one-on-one with their spirit guide that comes through. That spirit guide actually comes to you, right? Correct?
Yeah, I don't conjure them. I wait for them to whoever comes to me with a message for the client.
Is there any other cautions you should tell everybody? The reason you like working with people one-on-one, I think there was something said about that if you had to work with three or four different people, then more likely three or four guides would come through from three or four different people. Is that an overwhelming situation, or have you tried to do the group reading thing, or do you just like doing one-on-one work?
Well, I just started, and I do one-on-one work for now, but maybe one day I'll do group reading.
Mm-hmm. When you think about group readings, does it have a tendency to bring a little bit of fear with you because of the overwhelmingness? I mean, I'm pretty sure I've been in situations where you have a guide or a family member or even an angel sometimes comes through with a powerful energy that can be kind of overwhelming. You do the reading and stuff, but you kind of sit back for a minute and you have to sit there and readjust yourself. you haven't done group readings before, but you have been in situations where I remember a particular one person, I think she was being a little bit selfish because every time you would bring in a spirit guide, her spirit guide would come in too.
Yeah, I was in a free chat room, and I was giving like a free card for each person in my room, and there was about 20 people in my room. And one of the people there was also a psychic. So usually I get one spirit guide to come through at a time. But that day I got two guides come through at the same time, and they were clearly for two different people. And the guide was for my person that I was asking about, and the other guide was for the psychic that was in my room. And also when I tried to pick a card, I usually pick one card, but they were sticking together and they wouldn't like separate. So I had to pick two cards. And one card was, of course, for the psychic that was in my room. And whenever I tried to read anybody, I got two messages, one for the client and one for the psychic that was in my room. It was like she wanted a reading so bad that her information was coming through stronger than the other client.
So when it comes to that kind of work and you look at another psychic who should have been a little more respectful and understanding of the situation, but it seemed like she, in some sense of the word, that she was feeding into her own fears, did you think that was kind of like, I guess it made the reading harder for, because you were focusing.
I don't know what was going on that day, but her messages kept coming through.
So with that said, what is the worst, or no, I wouldn't say, let's don't use the word worst, just try to keep it positive. Let's ask the question, what do you think so far has been the most difficult reading you've ever done?
Well, I haven't had any difficult readings since I've been working at this for 3 months. Except for last night when, as soon as my call came from my hotline, I was being texted by someone at the same time that the call came through, and I was also being messaged on Facebook, and I was also being messaged on Skype, and someone was trying to video chat with me, and they all did this like right when I had the call on the hotline.
Well, I guess when you're doing the hotline, I guess you're going to have to sit there and cut all the other devices off so you can focus on your work, huh?
Yes.
You know, the one thing, no, we always was asking the question, because the hardest, I mean, I would sit here and say the most, I guess we should ask the question of a different, what's the one reading, forget the difficulties of readings, but the one reading that stands out in your mind so far that was just like, wow, just the way it came across, the way things happen. The person, you could just feel the energy from everything around you, where you was just like, whoa, I can feel the angels, I can feel guys, I can feel like this is like a life-changing moment in the midst of this reading here. Has that happened to you yet?
No.
One of those wow readings?
Not yet.
With the situation going on, when you look at your life, this is your life dream, right?
Yes.
Okay, with the situation
something
of your life,
love
this is something you love to do, right? So with the ideal, where do you see yourself in about 10 years?
I'm definitely going to be giving readings, whether it's for fun, for free, to help people, or for money, regardless of what career I have, I'm always going to be giving readings, and I'm always going to be healing, and I'm always going to be doing magic, because I love to do that.
So do you have other expectations? The way it sounds like you have another career in your mind.
Well, I like math and science. If I had a career, it would be professional or research-based.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So with the situation at hand and that kind of stuff, like we said before, we're just trying to convey to everybody out there who's listening in that to sit there and work with you would be a life-changing experience, and I think you're one of the best readers I've ever seen. Your accuracy when you're dead on is spooky. And I've seen you work with people, and your compassion's off the scale as well. So once you, that being said, I think you're a wonderful person, and I think people would be missing out on a great experience if they didn't get a reading with you. So once you give them the information on how they can contact you, phone numbers, whatever it is, so they can actually sit down and work with you one-on-one.
Okay, well, you can contact me through my website that's in progress, which is www.aprilangelpsychic.com, or my Facebook, which is www.facebook.com/aprilangelpsychic, and my Skype address is ultraviolet0007.
Didn't you have another website that was through YolaSite? You don't have that one no more?
I don't like it. I put all the info from Yola's site to my new site.
Okay, no problem. So do you have any kind of certain times or anything like that when you're working? What's the best time to what's the best time for people to contact you? Did you give a phone number too?
No, I would prefer to be contacted online first or through Skype.
Okay, no problem. I was just saying, a phone number would be better, I think, because that's how, almost 95% of my customers call me first before I do any work any other way. Okay, that said, we're going to sit and do some readings, and I guess you're going to stick around and lurk in the shadows and help us do readings, or are you going to?
Yeah, that sounds good.
Well, I'm just saying, you know, if you want to sit there and be on the forefront, you're a guest on the show, so therefore don't hesitate to give us the information on anybody who comes on, okay?
Okay.
All right. You can also contact me for private readings, too, as well. So just contact me at 740-500-8863, or you can contact me through my website at www.psychicxjourneyman.com. You can also contact me through Skype, too, as well, at donald.reed8, all in small letters. And we're also doing email readings, too, which you can contact me. Well, if you actually if you go to my website, the email that we send the readings to, which right now is a 5-card, 3-question email reading for only $25, and that email address is psychicxjourneyman@live.com. We do have some specials going on this month, and this is actually June 30th, so we're going to go over those specials one more time. It's actually $75 for 75 minutes, but we also have a 90-minute session for relationship counseling, life coaching, and those things, and that's $77. So it's usually $1 a minute for the readings, so therefore, if you have any different variations of readings you want to do, don't hesitate to ask. If you're a person who's on a budget, don't hesitate to ask, because if you go to my website, you will see the prices are different for a 75-minute reading, it's $125. For a 45-minute reading, it's $100, I think. And for a 25-minute reading, it's $75. But this month, you can get all those readings for $1 a minute. So keep that in mind, and be glad to hear from you. So give me a call at 740-500-8863. And if you want to call me through Skype, you can do that too. It's 740-601-9835. Let's go on with our show. So is everybody ready to do some readings? How about you, April and Dee?
I'll be back shortly. I've got another call, but I'll be back with you shortly.
No problem. We'll see you when you get back.
Okay. All right.
Okay. So you say you're ready, April?
Yeah.
All righty. Let's go to our first caller. That first caller is 443. Welcome to the show, and how are you? Say hello to April, Angel Medium, and me. Well, we're not getting any response. Hello. Hello, area code 443, and Let's see. You know what's calling. So let's go to another caller. Let's go to area code 416.
Hello, it's Kimberly.
Hello, Kimberly. How are you? Say hello to April Angel.
Good, thank you.
Hi, Kimberly.
Hi.
You could just call me Angel, Donnie.
Okay, Angel.
I love you, too. Thanks, Ray. I think that threw me off. You can call me Angel. I call you Angel. I'll call you Angel. Okay, this asked the question real quick, and I think the one caller left, and I think she was never mind. I'm going to go there. Just keep it positive, because I feel really positive about the energy tonight, and I feel very good that things are going to come across very clearly now. Kimberly, what's your question for us tonight? And just get right into it.
An update on love and work. Yeah, I know. It's two questions. Whatever's on top.
Oh, so you want us to give you an update, or you want to give us an update?
No. I want you to give me an update.
Okay, Kimberly, let's look at the situation like this, all right? Where are you located at in the world tonight?
Toronto.
You're in Toronto?
Yes,
okay.
Sir.
Okay. You know, when I look at the situation around you, the first question I want to ask is if you're seeing anybody right now.
No, I'm talking to someone.
Okay, now when you say you're talking to somebody, is it your banker?
I'm interested in someone, but that's it.
Okay, now when we look at the situation, this person you're talking about, is this person somewhat younger than you are?
No.
Why would this person come off as being almost like very young, almost like the idea of emotional immaturity? He's very good and proper. He talks, he's very communicative, but there's something about the whole thing where you see the eyes everywhere. Was a kind of a curiosity, but he wants to keep, I guess you would sit there and say, I want to keep, this is what I see. Now, some people have a tendency to put their foot in the door because they don't want you to come in, okay, and that's what I see with him. So he's got a foot, he's got the thing, he's got a shed. He's like, oh, no. But at the same time, the interest is there. So the foot is the interest in the door, okay? And when you start to look at the situation, I would sit there and really be honest and open and talk and communicate.
Mm-hmm.
But the ideal expectation, don't put any kind of expectations on this relationship at all of what you would like. Just let it play itself out and see what happens.
Okay.
Okay, April, what would you say?
I'm still tuning in to her.
Okay. Take your time. Focus, relax, do the whole thing. Because we're not in a hurry here. We got 2 hours.
Okay.
So don't feel rushed. Don't feel rushed, okay? So I'm not trying to put any pressure. I'm just saying don't feel like you're rushed. Do it the way you do it. Be you. You be you, I'll be me. And also, Kimberly, be you too.
Okay.
But relax too, Kimberly. Just open up to her, and
it
makes it a little easier. Yeah, it's a little easier with the transfer and stuff and that kind of stuff. Let's see. Okay, she's getting something. Kimberly, we're actually conferring here back and forth through Skype just to, you know, get an insight to the whole thing.
Oh, okay.
Because she was sitting there focusing, and, you know, it's like the thing she was seeing. I think she's trying to make her heads and tails of it because she's seeing watches and Rolexes.
Okay.
Now, with this person that you're talking to, Give us a little insights on him, about his profession, what he does, and what you know.
He's a businessman.
Okay, the watches and the Rolex, most businessmen are a person who are very stickler about timing, and watch. They usually look at their watch quite a bit, too.
Yeah.
Okay, I didn't mean to cut you off. Go ahead.
Oh, are you talking to Kimberly or Angel?
I'm talking to Kimberly.
Okay.
I'm looking at Angel. I'm Angel.
I
tell
like
me
people who talk about themselves in third person.
I'm sorry, Angel. Well, I was sitting there thinking, I was actually talking to Kimberly to tell her to give us a little more insights. And then I was going to come to you and say, okay, why don't you tell us what you're seeing and feeling? Just tell us what you're feeling. Maybe you should go with the feeling more here. Gotta get a freaking headache. The only thing I would say with the situation is the person does seem to have some kind of structure here that you might have to contend with. And that's what I was saying before about letting it unfold the way it is. Sometimes it is hard to do. It's hard to take off your expectations of what you expect because, you know, you put out what you put out and you want something back in return. It's one of those things that we can't get away from. You know, people say we shouldn't dwell on such things. We should allow them to happen. Of course we should. But, you know, if we've gone through situations before where we put out and given, and then when you get to giving back, then we have a chance to go into the next relationship saying, well, what, you know, really trying hard. Especially when you feel it. Whoa, I just felt like we just drove by a diner. Anyway. April's writing something to me, so.
Okay.
I do feel like the relationship you're in has a lot of potential. But like I said before, the biggest thing that came to me most was communication, vulnerability, being honest to oneself. Be honest with yourself. Speak your mind. You might have some arguments, but then again, arguments are how you that's how you iron things out.
Yeah, I get it.
Yeah, so if you don't, you know, if you need to take it, you know, people always say, like, it's like boxing matches sometimes, you know, there are rest periods between each round. But it's, you know, I always use that as an analogy with saying, you know, if you feel like you need to take a walk away, the best way I've seen it is just look at it and say, we need to take a break. You go and do what you got to do that works for you and vice versa, you see? Okay, the spirit. She said her spirit, your spirit guide. I'm sorry, using the third person. You know, I'm so used to dealing with so many people. Okay, your spirit guide. He's saying that it's very good at sizing up a romantic situation. She is saying that you're intelligent and you're understanding of the psychic of a man. So in the process of getting into a relationship, I think we shouldn't. You know, sometimes when we do know the psychic of anybody, you know, still look at the individual, look at the personality, look at, see him. Okay, yeah, you're right. Men have a tendency to do certain things. Women have a tendency to do certain things. But each one of these people have, each individual has their own personality. I've always sit there and looked at it like this. If someone wants to sit there and argue about the existence of God, then take a look at everybody on this planet. You will not see one person who is the same. There will be similarities that you can group them together in a bunch of group of people, a crowd of people, but an individual, I guarantee when you look at them, you will see the individual, the individuality.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what we need to really learn to respect. Okay? Like I was talking to April about readings and stuff like that. When you look at somebody, you see that individual and their personality. Every person that crosses your path is a reflection of you. And a lot of times twin flames and soulmates don't realize one thing. Depending where you're at in your life, you will attract a person who reflects that back at you. Okay?
Yeah.
So put it in perspective and try to have an understanding. I think both people on both sides need to understand that compatibility and being almost identical can be a little bit of work to understand, to be cohesive again. Because in the beginning, when you were created as soulmates or twin flames, you were at one. And now at the point, you want to come back and you want to be one again. You want to merge and share your lives together. You know? I mean, I know for a fact with my situation, the biggest thing I used to say too, I want to experience life. I never realized that every experience is an experience. And when you look at the situation, I've talked to couples too. With the woman, and I'm just saying, for the analogy, the people I've dealt with the most are the women who sit there and say that they want to experience life. They feel like they jumped into a relationship first. They're not looking at that relationship and the experiences they had with it, good or bad. It happened for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
It's happening for a reason. Everything is happening right at this moment for a reason. Even the dishes in the background and mom getting crazy. I mean, it's all happened for a reason. Even if it's just the idea of buckling down right at this minute and being more patient, or maybe using certain techniques that you have a tendency to zone out people, this would be a perfect opportunity for that, so you can actually focus on your work. I've done it myself. I basically had to do the same thing she did, and that one thing I had to do. One day I had to, hey, what's up? And then one day I had to sit down, buckle down, and just zone everybody out so I could actually do my work where I felt the happiest. Even though the world was still going on around me, and we all do this. Sometimes we do this spontaneously, which is when we're in the mall or something like we run into somebody, at that moment that we reconnect with that person, everything around it gets zoned out in favor of what we're doing. And we could just do that with a lot of other things. I guess we could be more productive. So with the situation here, it's like the same thing. You have a certain, the guy has certain traits of a male, but he's also an individual, and there's also certain things that you're attracted to. And I should say that you're mutually attracted to, because like attracts like. People don't like that sometimes, but it's the truth. So if you're having a problem with somebody, take a look at yourself. Because more than likely, if you're having a problem with that person, it's something within yourself that you need to look at and you need to address. And then that issue will probably be resolved, and you probably won't have to deal with it no more. And then you'll see which is an insecurity within yourself that made it more than what it really was. Ooh, that hurt. All right. Let's see. There is a lot of noise in the background, but we're going to sit there and go, you know something? This woman who's picking up on this stuff, I've seen her do some work that'll just make you go, wow, okay, that's spooky. How did you know that? She just did.
Okay.
And, I'm just saying, this person, you can see the energy with that. And it's good.
So it is good.
How you look at the situation, listening to your intuition and your spirit guides.
Okay.
Is there anything else you'd like to add, April? And we have the dancing pencil. I love this Skype thing. I don't know if you came up with a dancing pencil. But I actually saw there's one symbol that you don't see very often. It's a guy breaking the pencil. You ever seen that one?
No.
That's when you mess up real bad, and or you hit the thing really hard. This little dude with hands come up. Let's see. I'm thinking of a number from 1 to 10. Well, so Kimberly, do you think you're a person that's good at attracting people into your life? It's just the idea of the long term?
No, I've been very closed off to attracting anyone in.
So there's more. You could be a person that's good at attracting, but somewhere along the line, someone hurts your feelings and you stop doing it.
I stopped doing it, yeah.
It's you.
And this one took me by surprise.
I'm just saying, you're also an easy person to be around.
Yep.
And you make people feel comfortable.
Yep.
So, I think it's fair enough that you deserve to attract someone just like that too, don't you think?
I do.
I think it's the thing too. I was talking to my friend Nicole, and she was like talking about how she was always behind on everything financially and stuff, and she said, I'm doing the work. It seemed like it was traced down to one word or one little phrase, I deserve.
Yeah.
I deserved it. I am deserving. I love that word. It can be very, you know, that whole situation. I deserve it. And I think once people correct that whole thing and said, I deserve, I was doing this the other day on a random table. I was sitting there going, I said, okay, I deserve, I desire, I deserve to do six readings and six long readings. And then before I even had it out of my mouth, somebody took me into private and did a reading with me. I'm like, that was freaky. But it was the idea of that, the intent and the energy on it. I don't think there could have been anything else. And I get the impression, and she's also getting the impression that this guy would see you as a good match, see you as a good catch with skills. It's like, and it's also put in your mind that she's also saying that you will get the guy that you want.
Okay.
But that was a worry that's in your mind, was saying, you know something? Will I have to settle for somebody, or will I basically be with somebody that I really want to be with? And that's an answer to your question, to let go of that fear.
Yeah, I would be alone before I would settle, so.
Okay, I'm
never
just saying,
settle.
Sometimes we say that now, but, you know, sometimes in the future, there are certain things that tap into our insecurities that cause us to act out of character. So we should prepare ourselves
for that.
I
settled in the past. I'm not doing that again.
So you've done it before. No problem.
You'll never be truly happy if you settle.
No kidding. No kidding.
No, you won't. So just take it the way it is.
Yep.
And please, if you get a chance to sit down and you want to do a reading with any one of us in a private or anything like that, or definitely, you know, like we always say, definitely get back with us and give us an update on how this is going.
Okay, thank you very much.
Oh, no problem. You have a great night, and thank you again for calling, and thank you for giving us the privilege to actually do this for you.
Thank you very much, all of you.
Take care.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye.
All right, Dee's back. I really don't want to bring you into that reading, Dee, because you came back in so late into it, because I didn't think you'd have anything. We never really gave you the chance to think about it, so I didn't think that was
fair.
That's
okay. I just picked up a little. I know it's her time to shine. It's her time to break out of that, you know, the non-attracting mold. She's going to do fine.
Right. Well, let's zip off into our next caller. I think it's a private call, I think. It's 1111. You're on the air. Welcome to the show, and how are you? And say hello to Dee, April.
Hello.
Hi.
Thank you for
taking the call. How are you?
I'm good.
You sound it.
Thank you. And I'm enjoying listening to the show. It's great. I would just like a general reading, any insight that comes through that I may need to know.
You want to do a general reading, and I said, first of all, we have to check and see if you're in the military and if you have general status, because if you don't have general status, we can't do a general reading for you.
Okay. No, I'm not in the military. I'm merely...
All right. So, what's your name? Just tell us your name real quick and your birthday.
My name is Sandy, and my birthday is 8-6.
8-6?
Yes.
So, you're August...
6. Uh-huh. Coming up.
Okay. For some reason, I got stuck in my head. So, you're Leo. No. Yes,
Leo,
you're Leo.
Yeah. Yes.
Sometimes I look at people and I get things very quickly. So I look at and go, okay, you're Leo with a twist of Virgo. I also see traits of Gemini and the idea of being indecisive when it comes to relationships. So, you know, that's what I get. All right. But things to work on, of course. But the thing I get the most is this generalness about things of trying to neutralize your life. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Well, I do. I mean, I could ask you a regular question if you want me to. I'm involved in a huge transformation, and I'm going to be moving and starting a new relationship and so forth. And, yeah, right now I'm really having to step out of my box. And
it's hard. And when in the process of stepping out of this box, I mean, what is the hardest thing for you to do?
Well, no, it's just we are humans, and if you're in a place where you've been there for a while, it's a wonderful thing. It's an exciting time. It's going to be a lot of change for me. And
well, I'm just saying, the reason I was asking the question, what's the one thing that you feel is the hardest to do? Because I keep seeing in the process of you doing this transformation is you're seeing shadows of the past, but you're also seeing shadows of who you are. And what I mean by that is it's like the more you go within yourself, you're getting closer to actually tapping into who you really are.
Yeah.
And it's like one of those things of realizing one thing. You're a spiritual being in a human body. So it's like you being in your Mustang or you're being in a car, okay?
Yes.
You're going to come to a conclusion and realize that you are in charge. The body's not.
Absolutely. And it's just a matter of getting beyond the human beliefs that we've had for years and years and years and years. And so forth,
mm-hmm.
which I'm doing. Oh, yeah. No, I know. It's getting beyond the ego, beyond the walls we've built up around, you know. Walls
mm-hmm.
I built up around myself that I've brought down, yay. So.
Yeah, because we were sitting talking, you know, like you said before, when we started talking about twin flames and soulmates and the reflections and that kind of stuff. Those are also learning experiences, too, that people don't realize that being in a relationship is as much as important sometimes as not being in one, because there are just things to confront, and there are also spiritually and emotionally growth that happens in each one of those situations, and how not just dealing with, and the process of dealing with another person
yeah.
is dealing with yourself.
Well,
and the more you realize that the more you realize you're dealing with who you are,
absolutely.
the more you can understand the person across from you. If you don't understand the person across from you, then you're not listening to yourself.
That's right. Because you can't. Oh, sorry. Go on.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
No. You go ahead. Fine.
No, I'm sorry. Go on. No,
I was flowing.
What?
And I feel like there's something coming up with a new relationship that you're talking about. Now, when you say new relationship, is this something that you're perceiving you're going to be in a relationship, or is it something new happening in your life? Because if it's, I mean, to me it comes off as so new, there doesn't seem to be that initial beginning, okay?
Right. Exactly. Should I talk? I've been working towards this relationship, and we both have, and as you said, you have to work through things of the past before you can create what you want, because you
mm-hmm.
have to be completely at peace with yourself, or be aware. I mean, we're always, as long as we're in the human body, there's always going to be stuff popping up, but just be aware of it so you don't bring it into the relationship, and then you can have that.
Exactly.
That full, wonderful
mm-hmm.
relationship that... We all, and you're right. You have to have it with yourself before you have it with anyone else.
Yeah, well, sir, there's something else. Go ahead.
Is somebody in the relationship staying in a hotel right now?
I don't know. I don't know where they are at this moment.
You don't,
they could be, because they do travel a lot.
Oh, okay.
Why?
Well, I was just picking up images, and I saw, like, a period of time spent, like, in a hotel. That's why I was asking. I thought you were there now, but it could also be in the future.
Well, actually, I'm going on vacation this coming week, and I'll be on vacation for a week, so.
Well, there you go.
Yeah. Very good.
Right. I was just, the thing I was going to say real quick was just the idea that people wonder, the confusion part is trying to get, I guess was the idea of describing it. The reason people get in such confusion states is because in the process of not facing up and listening to yourself and focusing on you and in the situation of the relationship, it's like anything else. If you keep pulling yourself back and you refuse to follow your heart, you refuse to listen to yourself, you refuse to see anything, then you have a tendency, like most of us do, fear has a tendency to push us back further and further. And the reason the confusion comes in, because confusion is like a sense of darkness. Because the more you get pushed into the darkness, the more it's hard to see the truth. And that's the ideal. The more you run away from the truth, the more confusion has a tendency to set in, because first of all, you're not facing the fear, so you can't see it clearly anyway. And it's just, yeah, because I've had, the reason I say that, because I've worked with like some several women lately who say that they're confused. And most of the time, the reason they're confused is because they're trying to make a decision, not based on what they want to do, but what the other person wants to do, or how they feel, or what's up, and that kind of stuff. And then it gets confusing because, first of all, you're not listening to yourself and say, okay, what do you want to do? It is kind of funny. I look at them and go, okay, this is what it's all about, you. And they, you know, they like that part. And then they get it and say, okay, you're right. I'm focusing too much on him. That's his responsibility. That's his job. And vice versa, if you're in a relationship with a woman, to just say, you know, you're right. I'm done. Because it's like you've overstepped your boundaries. So the confusion should go away, and you should look at the situation for what it is. And it's probably a fantastic situation that you've basically clouded with your own insecurities. So you're doing good.
I think both of the people involved are working on a common goal, and that they should have more faith that when they work on something, that they're going to get what they're working towards, and don't have they shouldn't have any fear of what happens if they don't get what they're working for. Just think, what happens if we do get what we're working for?
So basically what you're saying is just keep striving for your goals in a nice, you know, focus, because when you focus, you put a light on it. So therefore, of course, you're going to obtain it. The only reason you're thinking you won't obtain it is because you're allowing yourself to feed into fear. Correct?
Wow.
Right? April?
Yes.
I was talking to April because she was having a little bit of problems. I knew exactly what she was saying. That it was just the idea of striving for, if you keep focusing on your goals, then you'll get there. No questions of it, because it's a great experience. It's always those insecurities and those fears that make you doubt it.
Yeah.
And then you start looking at the other person like they're the problem, when it's realistically your own insecurities.
That's right. That's right. You're absolutely right, because having the same goal and just focusing on that and not focusing on the hows or the whys or the wheres, and just know that spirit will get you there.
Oh, yeah. That was the very first thing I thought about when she said that, when April was saying that, was I just saw my problem, my air conditioning today. My air conditioning is supposed to be delivered any minute, any time now. And it was something, it was just the idea of picking up the phone and following through for a goal, and next thing it was done deal. So you're thinking, so then you, even when the smallest little thing it happens, it still has a tendency to give you confidence in the whole of everything else that goes along with it.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you look at your situation and say, okay, you are on the right path.
Right, right. Thank you.
Everybody's quiet. And you seem so far away. I was actually trying to turn my device up here to hear you more, but it's up to its full capacity. So I'm just saying, it might be your end of the story, but I can hear you, but it just seems like you're very, very low.
Are you talking to April or talking to me?
Well, April ain't saying nothing, so I have nothing to work on there. But I can hear you, and when I do hear her, she comes across, she's fine. I just wish she would.
I can hear everybody just fine.
Yes, give a little bit of spot in there, but that's good.
Well, thank you. Thank you, both of you. That's very true, and we just have to keep our faith, keep the faith, and keep the trust, and know, don't worry about day-to-day. Just be in the moment. Be in the moment and know you're going to where you need to go, and don't worry about tomorrow.
Exactly. Just look at that. Look at the
tomorrow will take care of itself.
Tomorrow absolutely will take care of itself. If you set your right, you're absolutely right. Wow.
And we all, and besides, by the time it becomes tomorrow, it's actually today anyway. So, what are we worrying about?
That's right.
Yes, and also yeah. Take a look at yourself and say, "I love me. I love you. I love the me that I am. I love you." And I have this thing in my book. It says, "I'm loved, cherished, and adored." And it's like one of those things when we have a tendency to get insecure about ourselves. I think we should do that. We should take that out and start looking at it and say, "I'm loved, cherished, and adored." Now, if we really believe that, then the person that we're with, and we shouldn't have any doubts. Yes, I do.
Absolutely. Yeah, if you love yourself, then everyone, you'll attract that to you.
Because that one I saw was like, what was it? I am loved, cherished, and adored.
I
recommended you say that 7 to 18 times a day. And then there's another one that says, I am loved, I am lovable, I am love. Say that 4 or 5 times and then say, and so it is. And then I always say, people, how do you feel after that? And then if you feel good, if you don't feel good, do it a couple more times until you do. Just let it resonate with you, and then go out into the world. I always tell people about chakra clearings, too, that they should do chakra clearings in the morning and chakra clearings at night. And in Doreen Virtue's book, the reason I say that is because, like she says, it's like you do the chakra clearings in the morning, it clears you for the day, which actually there's one in there for clearing the throat chakra and the heart chakra where you can actually make better decisions throughout the day where you don't let everything bug you. And then at night, you do a chakra clearing to get rid of everything you picked up that day, because I don't think we realize it. I think we should realize it even more. I know I do. In the process of working with the public, we don't realize how much negativity that we do, that we are subjected to daily, that it's very important to do those cleansings daily. Now, if you get to the point where you feel like you've done a lot, then you can drop it down to 2 or 3 days a week. But it's the idea that once you do clear your chakras and you clear your and you clear everything else, then you start, you put yourself in a position where you can actually monitor yourself and tell yourself what you think is good, but just make sure you follow through with it.
Mm-hmm. That's very good. Very good idea. Thank you. I appreciate it.
Oh, you're welcome.
That's wonderful.
Like we always do, we always tell everybody, we invite you to do private readings with us, but we definitely invite you to come back and share with us.
I will. I will. I will come back in a couple of months, and it's going to be an amazing couple of months. So.
Well, there you go.
Yeah, yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, thank you. Thank both of you. God bless you, and have a wonderful day.
You too. Thank you for calling. Appreciate it.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. It was like in my house, so I'm in my car now. And it's like 110 degrees, so I'm going to try to do readings from here.
Yes, I'm April. We really appreciate you going out in your car. I know how hot it is, but to be here and to do readings with us, and I mean, all we can say is thank you. I'm pretty sure the people calling in are just good. We'll say the same thing too. I mean, that's kind of dedication. I don't think I could sit in a car at 110 degrees and do readings, but thank you for doing that. All right, just go to area code 562. Welcome to the show, 562. How are you? Say hello to
Dean and yourself. How are you?
I'm doing good. Say hello to Dee and April.
Hi, April.
Hello.
Hey. Hi, how are you? I'm a first-time caller, and so far I'm enjoying your show very much. Thank you for taking my call.
Oh, you're welcome.
I have more like a relationship question. I've been, we've separated for about 7 months now, and recently he just sent me a message, and I really haven't responded back because of just fear, I guess. I would like to, you know, get back with this person, but I just don't know if the timing is right. I don't feel it. Like, I feel the connection spiritually, but I don't see it physically happening. So just kind of see what the angels have to say.
Okay. Well, the one thing I was talking about before when we said it was talking about the heart. People talk about following the heart. And I had a friend of mine who was sitting there saying, you know, sometimes I need to follow my heart more. And you felt like that was the best course of action for everything. Because, mm-hmm. See, I feel like this is what I've been taught. This is what I've done. And that's what I've seen. That when you follow your heart, it spiritually illuminates your mind. So you just don't feel it. You can also see it. And I think when we start talking about the physical, we're talking about action. We're talking about how we feel and that connection. Not realizing that if you definitely do have a very powerful spiritual connection, I guess it was the idea of dropping back and looking at people going, okay, you want to have a soulmate experience? You want to have a twin flame experience? Then quit judging it to a physical sense.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're not physical sense. They're spiritual connections. because we're actually connecting to who we really are. That's when we talk, people always focusing on the spiritual part. People are saying, I want to be more spiritual. They don't realize, or the idea, I want to be more psychic, or I want to learn how to be psychic. If they don't realize, most of the time, in the process of asking those questions, they've already felt it within themselves, and they're just trying to find a way to get there and obtain it, to utilize it, to be a part of it. And they don't realize it's all spiritual. But they keep looking for spiritual ways and meditations and stuff like that. But they're also taking the physical sense, and they're putting those expectations on them, going, okay, this meditation ain't working. And I'm sitting there going, if it's not working, then you're not allowing it to be what it is. Because meditation, a lot of people have a misconception with meditation. It's not a form of control. It's a form of grounding and letting go.
Letting go, completely letting go. Yeah. I do a lot of meditation. And you know, and I feel sometimes when he's thinking of me, he connects with me. Like, I feel the spirit, you know, connecting. And then soon enough, like, for instance, we haven't talked for a couple months, like maybe 3 months. And then I thought 2 days prior, I felt that he was thinking of me and thinking of me. And then, boom, I get an email. And he was very, very sweet in the email. But I was kind of, I guess because he let me down before, where I thought I got my hopes up when I got an email and I would respond back to him, like, you know, in the regular happy self me. And I wouldn't get a reply back. And then that would just crush me. So this time I didn't really reply back other than, I hope you're doing okay. And that was it. And then, sure enough, he doesn't reply anymore. But the thing is, like, I don't know. I know there's a strong bond between us. I just don't know what's the obstacle on his side, because there's no more obstacle on my side. I just don't know what the obstacle is on his side, or how long will it take for him to realize what he needs to live or realize before we can actually, you know, make this happen.
Okay. I understand what you're saying, but the thing that came to me the most was the ideal, was the conversation we had, twin flames and soulmates, and I was sitting there going, there's spiritual connections, and realizing the real world, in a perfect world, we would all be spiritual, so therefore these connections would be no problem, eureka, happy, there'd be flowers and butterflies and, you know, fireworks, whole bits. But see, then we forget the physical part, okay? That's why twin flames and soulmates sometimes have difficulties meshing, because that physical part, they don't realize that when they say that your soulmate may be different than what you're used to, or your twin flame may be different than what you thought, if the spirit, if you look at the two spirits, they're identical. But if you look at the physical part, it's been subjected to different things, mentally and physically. So we have emotional boundaries, we have baggage, we have all this garbage that we've acquired until we met those people. We don't realize that there's another reason why we meet, is to learn to deal with those obstacles, to realize, you know, a lot of people say this before, you know, do you love me? And I said, there's a lot of things about you that I don't like, but I've also come to the conclusion that without those, with the good parts, you're only half a person. So you look at these situations and go, okay, I want you, your situation is, yes, there have been things that have been happening in the past. I don't mean to cut anybody off. I'm just saying the past is gone. It's no longer anything we need to really contend with. And it's being used as leverage to understand a situation that's unfolding now, when we have two different people here who have changed. You know, so we have to take those in consideration. I'm just saying, with this situation, it seemed like it could really work out. It could be a really great relationship. It's just these obstacles. Are we going to let these obstacles be solid, or look at them as what they are, as illusions, and go through them? Because I get the impression, yes, he's got some issues. I'm sorry, you go ahead.
No, I'm saying that what you just said right now is exactly what's going on, is that when the breakup happened, I thought, I was like, oh my God, like the worst thing on earth could have happened, you know? I mean, we were engaged, and then all of a sudden, everything just cancel everything. But now, I look back on those 7 months, I'm thinking, that was such a blessing. You know what I mean? Like, I've totally changed. Like, it was like, wow, like, that's the best thing that could have happened to me at that time, because it made me closer spiritually. You know, it's like somebody opened the door to a whole new world. You know, I connect with the angels, and I meditate, and then I feel worthy now, where before I felt worthless. I didn't, you know, accept, like, I couldn't deserve love, because I didn't think that I was worthy of it, you know? So, yeah, I'm in a complete different page, or different, you know, state of being, but he's stagnant. He's stuck on that. So that's what I'm like, don't know if is there time for me. I should just carry on with my life, and then maybe down the road it will happen. Will it ever happen? I mean, I don't know. That's where I'm like, kind of like, because I know there's a change. And like you said, we're in different places right now. But the love is there. The spiritual connection is still there. So I don't know what to do.
To the point, realistically, too, is you're saying, I don't know what to do. Now, let's sit there and take a look back. I've said this before with people and say, okay, we're looking for balance in our lives, but I don't think we understand what that means to get balance in our lives. It's the balance between giving and receiving. It's the balance between structure and flow. It's the balance between the physical and the spiritual. It's also the balance between being and doing. We don't realize if we're not getting any kind of promptings from our guides or angels to do anything, then there's nothing to be done. It's the ideal. That's the time that you just allow yourself to be. And then when we do get a prompting, then do something. But I've also seen a situation like you're in right now. We're confused because we feel like we got to do something. Because we feel like if we don't do something physically or do something, then we're not going to get the chance to actually experience it to the fullest. Not realizing that the ideal of sitting back and just being and allowing it to happen, to unfold, actually gives us a chance to let go of our control issues. And everybody has some kind of control issues of controlling everything. When you take those expectations of trying to control it and just sit back and be who you are, then you're going to see some changes. You're also thinking that, what can I do to help him to get to that point where we can have a relationship, not realizing that's none of your business. That's not your responsibility. Okay? When you sit there and look at the situation and go, okay, he's got some issues. If you can see the issues, so do you. So therefore it's saying the reflection here is we're not on the same page. Well, if you really want to be on the same page, then you need to turn around and look at you.
Mm-hmm.
And then you guys will probably be on the same page a whole lot quicker than you think. You know, it's like for example, I think you guys need a crying situation. I had this with a friend of mine that before she left to go home, I think the most I ever felt closer to her was when she came to me and hugged me in the process of crying, and then she left. But at that moment, I think I felt the most closer to her because there was trying to help people understand why it's so important to let go. Because in the process of that whole thing, I think two people let go of any kind of expectations and saw each other for the first time. But it never happened. It wouldn't have happened if it wouldn't have been some kind of letting go. Just let go and say, oh, I just want to hug you. Or I want to hold you. Or just the idea of experiencing certain things of closeness like that, letting go actually helps those things happen. So it's the ideal. You realize at that moment how much you really care about someone. You love somebody to the point where you'll work on yourself even more.
Mm-hmm. Wow,
that makes
sense. What's that? Basically, it makes sense. Basically, I just have to keep going and concentrate on me, and if it's meant to be, then it will be, you know, it will be able to meet me. But before, we used to say, have this thing where we say we always, you know, we'll meet halfway, because we thought that meeting halfway, both parties, we would make a relationship perfect, because we always thought that by just doing the effort, we will make it. But I've learned, you know, through this whole process that I don't want to meet halfway anymore because I'm already there. You know what I mean? Like, I don't, now I'm there. Now I'm complete. I feel like I, you know, when I've received the love of the angels and their guidance, like, that's what made me happy. That's what I needed. You know, they made me realize there's that I'm spirit, that I'm not just physical, you know, that, you know, that I'm in that I'm very powerful inside because I can help others and I'm compassionate and I'm a caring person. And and if that person cannot be the same, then, you know, then this is probably why it's not happening then.
It sucks.
Because I really do care, you know. But
right. April, did you say something? I was pretty sure I heard some voices going on.
Yeah, I picked up on something about 20 minutes ago, and I kept trying to say something, and now I'm, like, not connected anymore. But his name was Billy, right? Did you say his name was Billy?
No, Charlie.
Charlie?
He looks like a Billy.
His name is Charles. Charlie.
No, so it's one of the situations. Sorry.
Did he, like, go far away?
Yes, he did. He moved to a different country.
Okay. Is that why you broke up?
No, I would have made it work. It would have been okay with me. Because even he was going to come back. I would have made it work. Because that's very flexible. I would have either gone over there or waited until he got sent back over here. Because he's an engineer, so he travels a lot. So, you know, he just had to wait for his visa. He had just one of those temporary visas, and then he was going to get permanently stationed here. And so, but then when we broke up, it just didn't happen. No, go ahead.
I think that was just a problem with him on his end, was the distance.
The distance bothered him, huh?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think it's that, and two, he's got issues from an ex-wife. And then I think the biggest issue, in which I really don't know how to handle, and maybe you guys can shed some light on this, his father committed suicide it just turned 2 years ago. And he's got this huge cloud over his life. And they're, you know, and not only him, but his sister and his mom. There's three of them. And their dad has completely changed the I don't know how do you call it, but the whole family is just in shambles because of that, you know. And ironically, when we met, his dad had just passed, and that's who brought us together, because as I was a little girl, I used to see spirits. And when I met him, he was here visiting in California. The first thing I saw was his father. And I didn't know really how to express to him what was I seeing, but I just kind of hinging around, you know, is your dad still alive, you know, stuff like that, little questions here and there just to gather information, because I saw his dad wasn't alive. But obviously, I was seeing him, so I knew he wasn't alive, you know. So that's kind of what brought us together with his father. But over there where he is at now, it takes 2 years to get an autopsy. Not like, you know, in the United States, you get it right away.
It took two years.
It took him 2 years to the day of his anniversary. And they got the reports.
What do they do with
it? It's totally
them?
Different. I don't know. I mean, can you imagine 2 years? That's how long it took. And when his father committed suicide, he got to see that. He was rushed to the hospital, and the doctor said he took antifreeze. You know, and it wasn't a very pleasant death. But when the autopsy came a couple months ago, and his sister contacted me, he said that they said it was a heart attack. You know, and his dad told me it was not no heart attack, you know what I mean? But I can't, like, how can you tell somebody that? You know what I mean? Like, I'm in an awkward position, so I just don't even bring the subject up. But I don't know how to help his dad, because his dad is, like, earthbound almost, you know what I mean?
This is one of those situations. It's the ideal. People don't understand sometimes when people are earthbound, it's because of the grieving, too. Grieving is like holding people from back. It's like when we talk about cut cords are very important, because it has a tendency to keep spirits here, too, as well. And once you get them to connect, get them to cut the cords and let go of this, then he can move on. It is hard. I mean, the only time it's easier is like when I was at a funeral. I was at my dad's funeral, and everybody, my family doesn't believe, really doesn't support me in anything I would do with this kind of thing, and don't believe what I do. And the first thing they said was, is Dad here? You know, I'm sitting there going, Dad is here. He's right next to the coffin. He's freaking out. He's in jeans and a nice little shirt. His hair is black again. And he's like looking at himself going, what happened? You know?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, those things are kind of easy too when it happens like that. But, you know, but realistically, with the situation, seriously, that was the very first thing I saw. And what's kind of funny, too, is you're saying antifreeze. Because yesterday, I couldn't trace it down to the source, but I smelled antifreeze very, very strong yesterday. And I've had this happen before. I used to have my shop up here, and I would get these names in my head. Steve. One day I got Steve in my head. And I never realized what was going on until at the end of the day, a guy would walk in the shop named Steve, and that was meaning it was time for me to go home because that's my last client. So your angels are always working with you on all kinds of levels, helping you with everything and that kind of thing. And they don't. One thing I want to stress to everybody out there, too, because I've heard people say this, my angels didn't tell me the truth. And I'm sitting there going, first of all, are they held something back from me? There's no motivation but you. And why would they hide anything back from you? It's you not listening to yourself that you're going to sit there and interpret it to follow the parameters that you're comfortable with. But your angels and your guides are there to help you get out of that box, to sit there and live life. Okay, now this guy that you were talking about, it seemed like you guys came together for a lot of things. And I understand what you're saying, too. I read this in Adoring Virtue book, too, to back it up, too, as well, that she actually did a reading for somebody that the angels told her that she was going to die. And she said, I can't tell her that. I just can't bring myself to tell her that. And they said, you need to tell her so she can actually prepare herself to go because it's, you know, pretty much a done deal. You know, it's that kind of thing. And she still had a problem with it. And she finally had to work through it to be that bold to say, you know, she didn't look at her and say, you're going to die. But she did look at her and say, well, the angels are telling me that you need to prepare for death because your death is coming up. And what was so funny about it is we don't realize this a lot of times, too, but there was actually work going on both sides of the situation. She already knew. It was just that she wasn't listening to her angels. So the angels were talking to Doreen to get to her to open up, to realize, so she could prepare to go. So you see how important it is that if you're not listening to your angels, to go to somebody who will. And now these things are going on, okay? So here's the father. The father is even saying the same thing. I want to go. But with all the grieving and everybody hanging on to me and all this chaos, I can't go on.
Nobody okay? wants to let him go.
Right.
Yeah.
So once everybody severs ties, it's like,
oh, pardon me, Donnie, but I get the impression, too, that maybe he wants to make things right with them because I think there's a lot of for him feeling guilt for what he did and them wondering, how could you do this to us? How could you take your life? How could you leave us?
Yeah.
And I think part of it is he wants to make some things right with them. And
yeah,
it's himself.
It's
how would
weird.
I be able to help him? Like, how do I bring it up or how do I help him? I mean, obviously he comes to me because I'm the only one who can see him. I'm the only one, you know, when I was very, very, when me and him broke up, I was like so devastated. He was the one by my side. He stuck with me. You know what I mean? Like, he came up to me. So there's times where, yeah, like he'll come and, you know, I can feel him. He'll hug me, whatever. And it's really weird. I've never met this person. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
So I know for a fact that he's the one that wants me close to his, obviously, you know, his family. But I don't know how to, you know, tell them, hey, you know, your dad really needs for you guys to accept the fact that he's gone. He's in a happier place. You know what I mean? They're very very iffy about the whole thing, you know? I don't know, and I want to help, but I just
I understand
put in
what you're
a
saying,
rough spot.
To give you a good example on how to do this, I had a lady come on the show one night who was at a point where she had to throw her kids out. One was pregnant, and one had a freaking problem. I think it was a drug problem. And she just had this really hard time of saying, you know, she knew what she had to do. She said, well, her daughter was taking pills on top of being pregnant. And she said, she's going to hurt that child. I said, and then she said her son was doing, he was crazy and doing things like, and just all this stuff. But she knew. And I just had to reaffirm it to her and say, I know, dear, that you're really having a hard time with this, but you need to do this in a loving way. And the only loving way you can do is to put them out in the streets to help them understand that the reason they're there is because of their own consequences. And you're just a vehicle that hopefully they'll get it, okay? So you look at people like this and you say, hey, you know, it's like this, guys. Realistically, you manifested the situation because you are looking for a solution to deal with this, to get past the grieving part, not realizing that here I am. And what you guys need to do is you need to let your father go because that's what he tells me that you need to do because he's still here. And he needs to move on. But with the grieving and the cords that we all have attached here, he's not able to do that. And you could help him and help yourselves to where you all can get to a good place. But you need to let go of each other and let things unfold naturally.
Now, how would I be able to find out? Like, I don't, like, I talk to him and I'll say, you know, just tell me, like, what caused you to do that? You know what I mean? But he doesn't say anything. He just tells me to me not do it or for me to never think about it. But he doesn't tell me why he did it. And I have no idea. Like, I have that same question his son and his daughter have. It's like, why did he do it? I think it's something humanistic about us wanting to know why, what drove a person to the point where they committed suicide. And that's, I'm in the same boat as they are, per se, because he doesn't tell me.
But see, the one thing is, you're trying to understand something that already happened.
True.
See, the point of, the most important thing here is it's done, and this man needs to move forward, and they need to let go of it. Understanding it is going to make them dwell on it even more. They're going to sit there and go, okay, he killed himself because of this. Okay, now I'm a bad person because we must have allowed this to happen. It's a trap.
Oh, I get
knowledge,
it.
Yeah, knowledge is a trap in that kind of situation, because the thing is, the more they know, it's not going to change anything. And it's not going to help anything. It's not going to take away from the realization that they need to let him go and he needs to move on. And the guy that you're talking about, too, the idea of having a great relationship with him is almost like you see a thousand blocks being removed from that situation unfolding. That you would see certain things that are happening where it's like, okay, he's not in a good place right now. That's because he's got like three walls. Very solid walls.
He's very scared of losing. Yeah, I think that's why he sort of broken up. Because the fact that he didn't want to lose me, he lost me on purpose.
That's
like he just said,
it's an insecurity of loss. It's an insecurity of being of loss because he's experienced loss before. And that's a hard thing to feel. That when people, even people who have, me personally, I was there talking about relationships. And I don't want people to make this like it's a bad thing, but I feel like some relationships I was in, if they would have died, I could have dealt with it better, but they were still alive. And then I had to deal with that because those connections are still existing. That, you know, there's always a hope or not a hope or there's all this stuff going on. But once a person passes on, I guess it's because of my work, I can say goodbye because of the certain thing. You know, those, okay, he's moved on or she's moved on. Okay, they moved on. And in a situation like this, there's always questions of like, what the heck happened there? And see, can you see the idea of the whole thing where we saw it before, a little pitfall going, you know, curiosity is a big hole that's hard to get out of. But but not even
very
going in detail.
How did you get out of that? Like, that's, you know, do you move on to a new person and learn how to love a new person? Or
should you wait for that person? But see, when a person dies, you're like, well, there's nothing.
Well, it's easier when they die. Yeah, there's nothing you can do, and then you can see them anyways. So it's like, you know, it's like all of a sudden they become another angel or another friend.
Right.
But I'm saying when they are alive, how do you cope with that? Because this is the only person I've felt this way for. I've had gazillions of other relationships, but never like this person.
That's exactly how I feel.
I don't
know
what to do.
That's why
I'm not
here. Yeah, that's how I feel right now with the relationship that I have right now that this I've never felt with anybody. So, you know, you look at the situation, it can be tough. But, you know, when the situation here is, because I'm sitting there looking at this thing very clearly and I can see the guy and I can see the son. Just like, you know, okay, you lost somebody. And it's one of those things that even the Bible says you should never mourn for somebody more than 30 days because if you do, after 30 days, it's not about the person who died, it's about you. And let's look at the situation, the people here. All they're focusing on is what they want to know. So it's no longer about him. And he's sitting there going, you know, why can't you, why can't you see me? But they can't. Because, see, if you look at it realistically, why can't they see him? Okay, I'll tell you why they can't see him.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's dead. And that's what they see. That's their perception in their mind saying he's dead. So the idea of perceiving a spirit, sure, they have that spirit. They have that religious background, but their physical mind, their reality says no, because that's why they're grieving. They're grieving and grieving and grieving. Now it's turned around where it's all about them. And that's why they can't see him. They can't see him. If they would let go of this grieving, I get the impression that the one that was the closest to him would have saw him. Even to the point where I actually feel like in some ways this person did, but was so caught up in everything, missed it. Okay, it was a quick affirmation. Hello, how you doing? They're not paying attention. I'm crying. And the one thing I was going to say earlier was I've had a tough time with these things with suicides because one guy described if you commit suicide, what happens is you still have to live your life, but it's like there's like a window between everybody, and you can't feel, you can't touch nobody, and you still got to complete this lifetime. And then there's other times I've never seen that. And with passings and stuff, like with the situation here too, I see the father, and I don't see any restrictions. I just feel like he just needs to move on, and almost like the idea of looking at the situation of even borderline, you know, it's like a borderline kind of an accident, suicidal thing too. So that's kind of got me like freaking out. But you was also talking too that you can't hear him.
Yeah, there's times where I can, like he'll, you know, whisper, like you can hear him from far away, like, you know, you can't hear him like a spirit who has light, that you can hear them clearly. You can hear him like if he was in a tunnel, like he's far, 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 far away, when, you know, so, and he has an accent, because they speak Afrikaans, so it's really hard to understand him, and so it's really very hard, but I know that he is very concerned, and his biggest concern is that his son is not with me, you know, and I told him, I said, it's just not my choice, it's just not his time, it's just he's not ready for it, and maybe he will never be ready for me, you know what I mean? It's hard to also accept a person that can see, you know, more than just a living, you know, I mean, it's hard. I've always struggled with that. Even my parents didn't accept, you know, my mom did not accept me. From a very early childhood, she kept saying, you can't tell that to people. They're going to think you're schizophrenic, you're crazy. She would take me to doctors and want me on medication and stuff like that. So I had to hide it, like, all my life because I was persecuted by the people that loved me, you know. So it's so hard to open up and tell people, yeah, I can actually hear them or see them, you know. So I try not to as much, you know. I try to, like, not shake people's hands or get too close to people because I don't know when it's going to happen. Like, I could be talking to you, and then 5 minutes later, if I touch you or, get you know, shake your hand, and all of a sudden I see, like, a movie of your life in front of me. And that's something that I can't not control. I try to. There are times where I'm like, oh, hell, I don't want to know anything or anyone. I'm letting you all know. Please don't talk to me. You know, especially if I'm going to go to, like, a very busy place. I'm like, please don't. I don't want to hear nothing. I don't want to know nothing. But, it's hard to find somebody who would accept me, you know?
It's hard, too, because I remember when I was doing my thing, too, where I was like, I was sitting at a conference table and somebody came to me and told me to send a message to her granddaughter. And I was like, I'm in the middle of a conference here. And the person was just like, slap, slap. No, you need to tell her. I'm like, okay, fine. Here I got to tell this girl that her grandmother wants her to rethink her relationship. And I just met this girl 5 minutes prior, you know. So
yeah.
That was kind of really crazy
awkward,
situation.
Very, very awkward situations they put us in. It's like, and there was one time I did a meditation class here in my house, and I thought, well, you know, I need to help people, you know, with their blocks and their beliefs and working stuff like that because I feel so accomplished because I've been able to do those on my own as well, you know. And so I wanted to share the wealth, per se. You know, whatever I learn, I share with others. That's just me. And, oh, my God, it was a nightmare. I couldn't, after the people left, I couldn't sleep all night. It was like a... Like, my house was full of strangers. They were just all talking, and they all wanted to give messages. It was like an open doctor's office. It was so bad.
Right.
I don't ever want to do that again, you know? So, there's times where it's just very uncomfortable, and you just don't know how, at least for me, I have a hard time dealing with it and, you know, transferring the information and stuff. But it is what it is, I suppose. Maybe I should have a show like you and keep everybody on the phone instead of in person, you know?
Right.
It'd be safer. It'd be much safer. Well, thank you guys so much for enlightening me and helping me kind of put the pieces of the puzzle together. Sometimes we kind of, you know, we get the message, but we got the pieces. We just don't know where they fit in. So So you definitely helped me a lot tonight by, you know, kind of just giving me a different perspective and saying, oh, okay, well, this is what I need to work on. And so I very much appreciate you all. You guys have a wonderful evening and stay
you
blessed,
too.
Okay? Okay,
you
thank
too.
You.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. Have a good night. Okay. I was trying to see if I could actually hear April because I got her on speaker.
I'm here. I'm using my computer,
microphone.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you fine.
Okay.
Okay. Turn it up a little bit. All right. Let's see. Oh, I got a headache. All right. Let's go here. Let's go to area code 678. See if the snake stops spinning. All right, here we go. 678, welcome to the room. Sorry, welcome to the show. I'm getting confused about the whole thing with this. I've been working on a random for the last 2 days straight. So, yeah, welcome to my room. Welcome to my show.
The Rubber Room with Donald Reed.
So, what's your name?
I'm Sierra.
Sierra, where are you calling from?
Georgia.
Georgia.
Hi.
So how can we help you today?
Well, I know my boyfriend, I think it was earlier this week, he was talking about us getting engaged in the near future, and, you know, I'm kind of really excited because that's what I've been wanting. But I know it's like this lady that lives next door to his mother, her name is Lacey, and I think she likes him. So, and then, you know, all these other women, I think they like him or, you know, the drama stuff that
mm-hmm.
he tells me or whatever. So I was just wondering, what did you see?
Okay, so you have this guy that you, there was a conversation about that kind of thing, about getting engaged and that kind of stuff, and now there's somebody else that likes him?
Yeah, I think it's this lady, yeah, she's like, lives next door to his mom, she comes over and everything. I think she kind of likes him, and what sparked that thought is because I had a dream last night with her in it, actually.
Your insecurities, I think, are getting the best of you, and I think that you're just needlessly worrying, because he's, you know,
yeah.
he's a good-looking guy, and women are attracted to him, but he wants you. And that's what you have to focus on, the fact that he really wants you. He's in love with you. He said he wants to get engaged.
Mm-hmm.
So if you focus on, if you, yo, go ahead.
No, I just feel like there's, I understand the situation too, that she should definitely focus on this relationship, because I really don't see no threat, no danger, nothing like that.
No, I don't either.
But the one thing I pick up the most is a discussion that she should have with him, that in the process of her feeling uncomfortable with the situation, I think there's nothing wrong with her with him asking her not to come over there no more, because realistically, her intentions are what she wants.
Yeah.
So she's not going over there with best intentions. She's not a friend. She's not an associate. She's nothing more than a person who sees somebody that she wants to fulfill her own insecurities. And I think it's what, and then, so I'm saying, I don't think that it would be out of her. I don't think it would be her being, what's your friend? How do we put this? I don't think it's something that's, I'm trying to find the word. It's okay to ask. Right.
Yeah.
It's okay. Yeah, it's okay for you to ask him to please have her stop coming over there.
Yeah, because
you guys are in a relationship. The relationship between the two of you is like, you're feeling comfortable. And I think he should sit there and really be supportive of your being uncomfortable with the situation and try to make it work on that kind of thing. And say, okay, you know, it's like, it's no big deal, okay? That's from his point of view. Well, we're not talking
yeah,
about his. We're talking about you feeling uncomfortable with the situation, that it wouldn't hurt to have this removed from the situation of something you don't have to worry about no more. Because, when you look at realistically, she's a person who has an agenda. She's not a friend. She never was a friend. All of a sudden, now she's interested in him because of what she wants. And he's already in a relationship. So, therefore, it's disrespectful on her part to even pursue him, to even
yeah.
have any kind of inkling to have something with him. Even the idea of saying, well, maybe they will work out. That's not her concern is none of her business, and that's disrespectful to what is going on now. There's a relationship that's going on right at this moment that needs to be honored. What they got going on there, it's a very sensitive situation, but in the process of actually having a relationship, everything else has to be phased out that is not working in favor of the relationship. They could actually be a distraction and hurt. Go ahead. The idea of true love is true love. I understand that point of view. If it is true love, then he wouldn't disagree with trying to make you feel more comfortable. He says he will talk to him.
Oh, sorry.
Huh?
I was just saying, if you sit down and talk to him. Who's going?
I just don't want to sit there and look at a situation that's dramatic. I want to sit there and make it simple to eliminate things
that
are more beneficial to the relationship and the growth spiritually and emotionally. It's very important that they both listen to each other and understand their needs, their wants, and their desires, and compromise and cooperate with each other and say, okay, you feel it's uncomfortable, then I'll do the one thing and say, you know something? Realistically, I don't like her anyway, you know, or whatever it is, and put it out there and say, hey, you are my number one person. I'm going to spend the rest of my life with you. So therefore, I think it's important to look at you and say, how can I be of service to you? How can I make your life easier? And that would make everybody's life a little easier. But at the same time, I think also, in the same token, it's just both people understanding. And the idea of growing and changing is to realize when you do really do love somebody, sometimes you're willing to let go of things in favor of their happiness as much as they're going to do it for you.
Yeah.
No, you go ahead, Dee. I'm going to, and you go ahead.
Okay. I was basically, I guess, pretty much saying what you were in the sense that if you sit down and talk to him and just, you know, tell him, In a very nice way, not, you know, jump all over him, tell him that you're uncomfortable with this other woman hanging around and, you know, get the communication going between the two of you and let him know how you really feel in a very nice way. I'm getting like Donnie now, can't talk. I just think that's one good way to handle it because I don't see that you have anything to worry about. This guy is in love with you. He's talking about getting engaged. This other woman doesn't mean anything. Like Donnie said, she's got an agenda. She's just somebody that she doesn't care.
Yeah, also.
But herself.
I just wanted to say something, too, that April was saying, which I believe, this is one aspect that I kind of like didn't go, but it makes perfect sense. Someone's like, he gives you a reason to worry because he doesn't really talk to you much either. And it would make things a whole lot easier if he would just communicate with you more, too, as well. So you both just sit down and talk and communicate. The more you guys communicate with each other, the less suspicion there is. It actually cancels out the whole suspicion.
That's very true.
That's communication. That's vulnerability. That's like, wow, thanks. That was very good. And then, he's not going to listen to her. But just take our expectations off that and say, you know, we're trying to look at things positively here, that in the process of focusing, affirmations and prayers and working with our angels and guides, I get the impression he will, and he can. Everybody has that communicational ability in them. They also have that vulnerability in them, too. It's always that scared of getting hurt. That those two have a tendency to get shut down. But April agrees with the rest of us, too, that he does love you.
Yeah.
And realistically, there is nothing to really worry about. These are just ways of sitting down with him. And, you know, it's like sometimes it can be uncomfortable, but just sit down with them and say, you know something, just talk to me. The more you talk to me, the more my suspicions and doubt go out the door because I can feel it from your voice. I can feel you, and I feel the realism in what we really have. That's the importance of communication.
Okay. Well, thank you.
You're
anything
welcome.
Else?
No, I think that's the most important thing.
Okay, good. All right, so check back with us. We really appreciate you calling us and giving us time to actually work for you. But we'd love to hear back from you again. And if you want to, with all three of us sitting here, if you feel comfortable with one of us to do a reading with, please do so. And if not, please come back and share what's going on in your life, right?
Yeah, cool. We'll do.
All righty.
Take care.
You too.
Thank you. All right. Let's see what we got going on here. All right. You know, it's kind of crazy. They said the queue is full. There's a lot of people in here. So I'm kind of confused. All right, let's go to, this seems like an England number, or at least it's a European number. I think it's an England number. It's a 447.
The area, the country code for the UK is 44.
It's 44. You're on the air, welcome to the show.
Hi, Don. It's Carol. Long time no speak.
Hey, how are you?
I'm very well. I missed your show. My schedule just hasn't allowed for it. It was like tonight, oh, gosh, I can make it for a little bit, so I thought I would pop on.
Well, we got Dee with us and we got April with us, so how can we help you tonight?
Just curious what you see coming up for me. I'm in the process of the house is almost sold, finally, and I just... With moving back to Canada, do you see anything upcoming for me?
So where are you at now?
I'm in the UK still, but I'm hoping to be back in Toronto by the end of September.
So you'll be back in Canada?
Yeah.
By September?
I'm hoping to. Or
well, right. Well, the thing I keep thinking the most, I keep getting October. More like October, things are going to fall into place where there's delays and things going back and that kind of stuff. But it seems like once it's all done, and you can see, I can even see the dust settling, and then I keep getting October.
Okay, that works for me. Yeah, sounds nice. I'm ready. It's taken long enough. Anything else?
Well, that situation, I feel like once you do that, it seems like a lot of things you've been focusing on are going to fall into place a whole lot quicker. It seems like there's some delays. Something about publishing.
I'm in the middle of writing my book right now. I'm halfway through it.
Oh, okay. But that was a big thing. You know, very, very big publishing, kicking. It says publishing and kicking ass.
I don't know, but well, maybe there is some butts I have to kick when I get back home. I don't know. It's been 7 years.
I think two or three, maybe.
Two or three butts.
Yeah, why not?
Hey, I guess I could use the exercise.
Sure, take up kickboxing.
Yeah, I did that going back about 10 years ago and I enjoyed it. Yeah, that's probably something I would go back into, I think. It was interesting.
You said kickboxing?
Yeah, I tried it and did it. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, you know, it's one of those things that I think we all need outlets and it makes it easier for everything else to flow.
I get the idea, right?
Do you have a tendency to do anything like that when you're writing a book or something for a release? Because I was like, you know, I got to kick ass with the publishing thing, so I was like, okay. I was just curious because it's like, you know, something you enjoy, something you should do. Maybe it's even the ideal that there's two more books to be written and they're going to be frustrating, so you're going to need an outlet.
Yeah, I could see. This one's been frustrating enough. This one has been started and stopped so many times, but it seems now is the time and it's just flowing so easily, like literally six chapters in like a week. Like, okay, obviously this book is meant to come out now.
Yeah, get you before you go back to Canada, get you a picnic basket and freaking go pick some fruit. It's enjoyable, it's happening. And for some reason, I keep seeing blackberries or some kind of berries. But I see that it happens in England before you come here, and it's like another thing of going outside and connecting with nature of a great way to release things and to even get back in, to even get into even more of a flow.
Okay.
So I see that see you having a very good time. I see you actually walking around barefooted and getting just a little crazy. So.
Yeah. Well, it is coming up on my birthday in 2 weeks, so.
Oh, there you go. But your books are about metaphysical, but a little twist there somewhere.
Yeah. A little bit twisty.
What are they?
Pardon me?
I didn't hear that last.
They're metaphysical, but yeah, they do have a bit of a twist, yeah.
What's that?
I'm a bit of a rebel, so it's the metaphysical in the rebel form.
Okay, you fade out for just a second. What was that last statement about? I just wanted to get some. You said something about more about the book.
Yeah, it's metaphysical, but it's a bit of a rebel. I'm a bit of a rebel, so the book tends to be a little bit of a rebel.
Okay, gotcha. That could also be the thing we're talking about too. You know, the idea of metaphysical book, and I started publishing and kicking ass because it's a rebel. You know, kind of thing. This is how I'm going to do it. I'm just saying, you got to embrace this because I think it's going to be like really successful.
That's good. I feel good about it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's been with me as long as I can remember. And I resisted for the longest time, but I know it's meant to be done. And I started a few
mm-hmm.
times, but this time it's like there's this impotence and there's definitely a flow that's not of me. I'm definitely being helped along to make sure it just seems to start to flow and it just comes and comes and comes and comes. And it's just at the oddest of times, but it's flowing, like I say, 6 chapters in like a week. And outlines
oh, wow.
for 3 more. So it's like really flowing fast. Like, new part, I thought it might even be finished at the rate it's going by my birthday, which is in 2 weeks at the rate it's going right now.
Mm-hmm.
It's moving. It's like it's time and it's like this flood coming out.
Mm-hmm.
I'll have to send you a draft to read and let me know what you think.
Sounds good to me.
Yeah.
I'm looking for some kind of inspiration to get mine going too. I got some things going on that kind of stuff in my head, but man, it's probably my migraine. I need to get it out of there.
Yeah, no.
Okay, you faded out. I guess maybe it's the idea.
I'm here. I'm here. Yeah. No, I'd really like to. I really love your opinion on it.
Okay, no problem.
And if it kickstarts you, maybe you're the one I'm supposed to be kicking some butt.
Okay. All right.
You're supposed to be kicking your butt. Okay, start right.
Okay. I got it, guys. We focus on the goals. We focus on the goals, and everything in between will actually become a reality. I know.
Maybe that's the butt I'm supposed to be kicking too, huh? Maybe that's why I called in today.
I think so.
Yeah.
Probably so. It's time for you because you've got so many experiences and
keep
so much.
It all the time. You know, I actually told somebody. Someone told me in a reading that I had a golden box in my throat, and they thought it was more detailed to actually a book that needs to be written. And I was like, okay, it can make sense because of all the how verbal I am when it comes to relationships and. Everything about the whole thing and just the idea of the whole thing, you know?
Who says you have to write it? You can also do it like audio, send it by audio and have it transcribed.
Well, I was hoping to have a certain partner help me out with writing this book in the first place because she's fantastic. And she actually, she actually redid my bio on there and I've had nothing but compliments about it.
Well, I could use someone to do some work for me on that, so I should get her name off you.
But if you want to talk to her, I'd be glad to give you the information.
Oh yeah, we have. Well, we're on. We're connected on Skype.
Mm-hmm. No, I'm just saying.
Drop it. Yeah, I love the information. Yeah.
To talk to her on Skype.
Well, no. Like, if you could give the information so I can contact her, we're connected on Skype. You and I. So you could SMS
okay.
me on it.
Yeah. What is?
Goddess Aryan Moore.
I was just trying to figure out what information I would give you to where you could contact her for her insights.
Well, I could give my emails, arianmore@gmail.com.
I was sitting here looking at her, asking her if she would like to make contact with you to work together.
Yeah, well, if she's in, I'd love to, if she's interested.
I'm actually talking to her right now.
Mm.
Your name is Karen, right?
Carol. Christmas Carol.
For some reason, I can't think of my head. Because I'm actually talking to her on Skype right now. Ultraviolet... 0007 is her Skype name.
Ultraviolet 0007.
And you can also contact her on Facebook at April Angel Psychic. It's www.facebook.com/April Angel Psychic.
Okay, I'm just contacting her on Skype.
Okay.
I just sent a request to her, so I'll leave it so that way if she gets it, if she feels comfortable, I would love to talk to her. But with respect to you with transcribing your stuff, if you decide to do it by voice, Odesk has all kinds of hundreds of thousands of people who do work all around the world, like thousands and thousands of hours, and it's really inexpensive.
Okay. Also, someone suggested for me to do meditational CDs, too, because of the voice.
Yeah, you just
and they also
down,
like my
yeah.
They also like my meditations and stuff, too. So I was like, I think there's two things I should be focusing on getting done now. So I'm going to. Did you get that, April? She sent you a request.
Yes, I'm already messaging her.
Okay.
Fabulous.
All right, we got it. She got it. So, but you know that, right? So, okay.
Terrific. No, thanks so much. I'm so glad I called in, and thank you so much for the confirmation on the book, because it's nice to have the confirmation.
Oh, no problem. If you want to talk or anything like that, you can also contact me through Skype, too. Be glad to talk to you.
Oh, I'd love that, too. And if I can help you out with respect on your side, doing your book, let me know.
Oh, no problem. Thank you.
Thank you, everyone, for the reading. Fabulous.
Take care.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Yeah. Good night, hon.
Good night.
Okay. There's that freaking scent, too. I keep picking up on freaking antifreeze. All right. Just going to our next caller, and actually, I'm going to go here. Area code 719, welcome to the show, and how are you?
Hey,
say hello to
Kelly, how you doing?
Hi. I'm doing good. We got D here, we got April, so...
Awesome.
So how you doing?
Apparently, Idaho's doing better than Colorado in terms of wildfires. How are you guys doing? It's like we heard Manitou Springs and all that up there, like, burned. Were you guys probably the ones that were evacuated, or what happened up there?
Well, you know, it's one of the situations. You got to look at the media. The media has a tendency to exaggerate and put a little drama into it because they did evacuate Manitou Springs once, and then they let them back in at 8 o'clock that night, and then there's been a couple back and forth. And the fire has been really keeping it bay over there. I saw a couple of fires yesterday that looked like they were small, and I haven't heard anything about anything, but we've been getting a lot of rain coming in too, so that's probably good. Well, I've been focusing on the rain. I'm kind of like focusing on downpours, which we haven't got yet, but I'm still hopeful.
Rain would be good. Pray rain, yeah.
Yeah,
well,
go ahead. No, I was just going to say, I was looking at, one day I walked down and I got mad for was it. It's not downpouring rain or anything, but it's kind of crazy how every time I walk out this door to go somewhere, it wants to rain. I said, once it rains, get it over with, yeah. So what can we help you with?
Oh, I'm kind of looking at, we're out here, it's like we're kind of looking around at properties and places and this and that and whatever, and it's like a little bit of clarity, because apparently the last I heard, it's like, I'll just say my angelic group is in dissension about where exactly we ought to be parked. So it's like, wondered if there was anything coming in on the other side, if they had come into any decisions about, you know, where if they came to an agreement about where would be best for us, because it's like, at least we've moved from the air mattress on the living room floor to at least downstairs on a high bed sofa, but, you know, I have better plans for the summer.
Right. So you're in Wyoming?
No, we're in Idaho. My daughter had her little guy. Actually, he came like a couple weeks early. So he showed up June 11th. He's indeed a Gemini baby. It's like really amazing, amazing little guy.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so you're in Idaho.
We're in Idaho. We're in Homedale, which I found out as we went the other day. It's like we're only actually about 4 or 5 miles from the Oregon border. So it's like, you know.
Wow.
We're way across the state. So, you know, we're open to property either here in Idaho or, you know, it's like, or Oregon. The only downside with Oregon is they have no sales tax. So property tax is really high. So it's like, kind of flip a coin on that one. And we just kind of want some place that's going to be closer to where my daughter and son-in-law are, you know, kind of like closer to where the grandbabies are going to be.
Mm-hmm. So that's where you want to be. Okay. And where are they at?
Say that again?
No, where is your grandbabes and all that, everything like that?
Oh, yeah, the name of the town is Homedale, H-O-M-E-D-A-L-E, Homedale, Idaho.
And you want to get as close as you can to them?
Well, actually, my son-in-law would like a little bit of space because right now we're in the basement, and that's a little too close, so I agree.
You're in the basement?
Yeah, that can be a bit much.
It's like, they have a basement apartment, and currently they have a really cool renter, and it's like she's a single gal who's been letting us camp out on her hot bed sofa because we were too cozy upstairs, so it's like, yeah. So we're kind of looking for something within, oh, I don't know, you know, 10 or 20 mile radius. Was kind of what would be good and close, and, you know, still be close enough to be of help, you know, but not right on top of them, you know.
Okay, no problem. Because what I get is I get 10 miles and I get northwest.
10 miles northwest. Oh, very nice. Okay. Okay. And
I get something that's going to be rugged, but workable, and something you can turn into something of your own.
Okay. Will it qualify for a VA loan? I found out that at the moment we bounce somewhere between, depending on what they're going to count for income, somewhere in the mid-80s up to like 104 is our price cap.
Mm-hmm. So I had to get up the prices.
Okay, what we currently qualify for is like mid-80s to like 104, 105 would be our very top limit. So it's like, will that fall in that? And will it qualify for VA? Because I've got a guaranteed VA, my certificate of eligibility and all that stuff.
Okay. Well, the property I keep picking up on is only like $45,000.
Oh, cool. All right. Awesome. $45,000. Is it associate? Is it like in town, out of town, on the outskirts, got land with it?
The word I get on this thing is outskirts.
Okay. Okay. Any idea on acreage?
It gives the image of 40 acres.
Oh, wow. Okay.
But when I look at it, it's almost like, it looks like it's pretty wide open. So it might be small acreages, but it looks like you got a lot.
Wow. Okay. Okay.
That's what I keep getting.
Okay.
You got more acreage than I picked up.
What did you pick up?
I picked up 5, and I was waiting to see what you were going to say, and then you said 40, and I went, huh? Like, whoa, that's a far... 40 and 5, that's a big span in between.
Mm-hmm.
I know you're going to have more than 2 or 3 acres, but, you know.
Yeah.
Idaho has this thing where
if you have more than 5 acres, you can qualify with certain, you know, whatever, to get what it's called. It's called like, agricultural stuff. So, for example,
mm-hmm.
there's one place that it's like, oh, it'd be awesome to have. It's like, you know, 6-point-something acres, but they want $237,000 for it because it's got this, the house on it, it's an older house, a 41, but it's, you know, built in 1941, but it's got like 1,100 and some square feet on the top and 1,100 square foot, you know, basement. And because of where, but they only paid like $353 in taxes last year because they qualified into things for this, you know, agricultural thing. So I went, but they said you have to have more than, you know, just over 5 acres to be able to do that. So I was like, okay, you know, that would make it feasible.
Mm-hmm.
And is there already a structure on it? Is there already like a house there, or is it something we need to build?
I get the impression there's like 2 or 3 structures on it.
Okay.
Yeah, house and outbuildings.
I get it. It's like I tell people all the time, the situation. People around you are going to sit there. When I was in Ohio, we saw people were charging outrageous things, and right in the middle of it, you would find something like most of the places, like this one place was going for $400,000, one was going for $300,000, and right in the middle of the whole thing, there was another place for
$67,000. Oh, wow.
So, you know, it's like look at the situation and say, okay, this goes back to the old records of manifestation and say, okay, don't let everything out on the outside affect what you're trying to create.
Right.
Okay, because that can drive you nuts. Because, ooh, there's all these properties going for this, this, and this. But those properties, realistically, are probably not the ones that you want. And the one that you do want will follow those parameters. I just feel like that whole thing. Because it was like, you know, it's like I said before, it gives me the image of 40,000, which that's what you really want, too, when you want space. Doesn't matter if you have 10 acres. It's the idea, ooh, I feel good. I can see something.
Yeah.
I don't see my neighbor's house. You know?
Oh, okay.
But I'm not in my daughter's basement.
Out of the basement would be nice. Especially
right. And then also, I was talking to April, too, and April said she got 5 acres, too. That goes along with what Dee said.
Yeah.
So, you know, somewhere between 40 and 5. It might actually be, like I said before, it might be the idea, it might be 5 acres, but when you're standing it on your acreages, that when you look,
right,
when you take a look out, you feel like you, yeah, it's like, you feel like you owned all of it.
Right.
You
got a view. Okay, so it's land.
You got
view.
A view.
Okay.
It's like 40 acres. Yeah.
The other question is, where might we, it's like, are we going to find this, like, is this going to be like a Craigslist thing? Is this something we're going to find on our own? Is this something we have to go through a realtor to find out? Is this somebody, you know, like for sale by owner? Kind of like the where, you know, or how, you know, how and where are we going to find it? It's like, is it through an agency or is it like, you know, through a public listing?
The visions I get on the whole thing.
With advertisement.
Advertisement.
Okay.
That word,
yeah, me too.
Out, so I'm just throwing it out there.
Okay. My advertisement has a tendency to go on a different parameter, okay? When somebody has a sign in their front yard, when people have a sign in their front yard, that's advertising.
Right.
you find on your own. Because the picture, the visions I saw was me and my ex-girlfriend driving down the road and just catching out the glimpse of my eye, a for rent sign, which actually became our next house.
Oh, cool. Okay. So it's, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of take.
That was the
so
visions I saw. So we could put those both together, advertising and doing it on your own.
Right. And take a drive down the road to the north and west. Okay.
I've never found anything through realtors. I've contacted realtors, but never really found anything through realtors.
Yeah. Well, because I know they need to make a commission, and they always want to show you the highest thing, and they usually show you things out of your price range. Like, yeah.
Yeah, especially here. I was here, and my friend, she bought this $500 million home, and I was talking to the realtor that got her in the house, and she got 13%. I said, that's $13,000.
Wow.
For one house, she got 13%.
Wow, that's amazing. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Most people are in realty.
Well, the average person usually pays between apartments and stuff, pay between $12,000 and $15,000 for that
right.
dwelling for over a year or two.
Oh,
so
yeah.
It's like, oh, wow, we can pay the rent up.
Yeah.
We're good for next year. Here we go.
might as well pay my own mortgage instead of paying somebody else's rent, though, you know? It's like, yeah.
That's it, yeah, exactly. Mhm.
Cool. So how are things going in Colorado Springs for you? It's like, you know, in reading stuff, it's like we kind of bugged out of there really quick, and it's like we didn't really get a chance to call you back or anything, and it's like kind of going, well, dang. It's like, and this is really about the first time I've had an opportunity to catch you on air.
I was just kind of wondering what happened to you guys, too. Like, did you guys get on a flying saucer and go to Mars? I was like, wow. It's just like... But,
well,
close.
Marsing is the town 10 miles down.
No, right now with the things going on, I got my apartment, I've got the stuff going on, we've rearranged everything like that. We've actually done some readings here, too. We've done readings here and all kinds of stuff. And
cool. How's kind of the building the group going? Is that kind of getting a start?
Say it one more time.
I said, you kind of wanted to, like, you know, build a group or, you know, find a group and stuff. It's like, how kind of is that?
Oh, the metaphysical thing?
Yeah.
No, I need to start working on that, too. Metaphysical group, sorry.
Yeah.
No, we just had some life-changing events happening. I'm still trying to, try to assess. But, you know, the house, the thing like that, I called someone today, and actually now I have an air conditioning coming over. That's going to make a difference, especially with the heat and stuff. But I'm going to have air conditioning in this place, and it's not that big. So it should be just adequate enough. It's only going to cost me $60 for an air conditioner.
Oh, wow. That's not bad.
Mm-hmm.
That's not bad at all.
Holy nope. God. And then she's also got referrals and stuff, so therefore more business.
Yeah, for sure. Well, coolio. Well, I'd like to stay on and listen. And let's see. I'm not sure how much longer you're on here, but it's like I'd like to hear the rest of your show.
No problem. I have no idea how long I'm going to be on here either. 39 minutes. 39 minutes. Yeah.
39 minutes. Okay.
And plus, you know, we're going to sit there and sit down and give out some information and stuff, which we haven't done in like an hour or two. So yeah, we're gonna be there.
I was gonna say, you said you have April there now. It's like, is she doing her remote viewing stuff?
She's doing a lot of stuff.
Cool. Is she still with that remote viewing group or whatever it is, or all that, or what else is she doing?
But actually, she seems like she's really dead bent on building her business. She's been working on that for the last 2 days.
Oh, excellent. So you got her out there in Colorado now, or is she still out?
She's in North Carolina.
Oh, she's still in North Carolina. Dang.
Yeah,
it's
one of those things.
Is she going to make the jaunt out to Colorado, or is she going to wait till the fires are out?
I don't know. For some reason, I kind of like do see her coming back here, but for some reason, I also see me making a trip to where she's at, too, so...
Oh, cool.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome stuff. Really awesome stuff.
So we'll see what happens.
Yeah. So are you on 7 days a week? Are you on at the 6 o'clock time every day?
No, right now we're just doing Fridays, Saturdays, and Sundays. I started getting really bad migraines, so I had to slack back a little bit.
Oh, okay.
Plus, actually, I had to work. I mean, it was just the idea of working the sites and everything like that, and the migraines were getting a little worse. And then this fire thing didn't help because it started messing with my sinuses, which was toppled off with the migraines. And one day, I had such a bad migraine and sinus problems, I was just like, I didn't want to be bothered by anybody. And it's one of those things where I didn't want to make everybody feel bad or nothing, but I just could not. I could not
function. You get to the point where you can't function. It's like, I know, I've heard people talk about migraines. It's like I've heard migraines can lay you flat for 3 days.
Yeah, because it's like migraines, sinuses, and when I get migraines, it affects my whole body, where my body just aches from head to toe.
Wow.
And then I had to deal with the sinuses.
Coffee.
Yeah.
You need happy coffee. Did you ever drink that stuff?
No, it's still up there. I guess I could try that. Yeah, I could try the coffees and stuff.
Yeah,
I still got it.
What's that?
Okay, go ahead.
I was going to say, I think it's D.
Now,
no, D, you there?
Yeah, I told him he should take coffee and chocolate because Cheyenne was telling me that.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Okay.
That's true, too. I might try the coffee thing, but actually, chocolate, if I take too much chocolate, it actually causes the migraines.
Ooh.
Oh.
Wow.
Sucks.
I had a fiancé like that.
Oh.
Yeah.
There's also a thing that says that
you should have taken a lot of chocolate.
There's also a thing that says that migraines are caused by an excess of theta waves in the brains, and that if you... if you do creative work like make bread or throw clay or do something with work with your hands or something like that, it's like it actually helps reduce them when you express yourself creatively, that it does something with that rebalances the balance of the theta waves. But they say supposedly from a scientific viewpoint is that migraines generically are caused by too many theta waves in the brain, which has to do with your not expressing your creativity. Just FYI.
Yeah, I was thinking that too. I was like, procrastination of doing the book and then something. And also, I was being pushed to actually go to Hobby Lobby and get some pastel chalks and start doing my portraits and stuff again.
Yeah, absolutely. That would help.
Mhm. I also was thinking about designing my own tarot card deck.
Oh, excellent!
That was an interesting
really
thing. Well, I was thinking about trying to get some kind of way people could actually go to the park or something. I was looking for some kind of, something that I could put my banners and stuff on. And something came to me, but I remember this one time I went to Hobby Lobby, they had those easels. And at that time, they were like $10. And I was like, well, I don't need something really, complex. Something simple would be great. And I was like, well, we could do that.
Yeah.
And then kind of dance from each one of these parks from time to time. And then, actually maybe talk to a couple stores or something like that, go in there, and we have a thing going on.
Cool.
That was one of April's excellent ideas.
Wow.
I think it should be something to follow through.
Yeah, totally. I'm going to say, shoot, and if you could, design one of your own, tarot deck, just like do all the drawings and stuff like that. It's like, shoot, you could, everybody, people sell those, get them printed up and it's like, and sell them. And it's like, as being it might not exactly be a Colorado author, but it's like a Colorado artist. It's like there's, all kinds of shops throughout Colorado that, absolutely. It's like if you live in Colorado,
that's right.
You've either written a book or, or an artist of some sort. It's like there are places that look for Colorado artists and Colorado, book writers. So it's like, and they would market your stuff for you and sell it out. So it's like, shoot, go for that. That'd be awesome.
Manitou, there's a lot of art galleries in Manitou Springs alone. And people don't miss them at the other end.
Totally.
Yeah, some crazy stuff. We just got to start doing them. I've actually got my eyes on, a freaking nice house, too.
Oh, there you go.
It was kind of a walk. Well, it's a cool house because almost everything in it, all the fixtures and stuff, are copper. Copper sink, copper faucets, copper. Actually, had a glass, had glass doors in the shower, and then the handles were copper too. And then it has copper throughout the whole house. I was thinking of which little bit at one time because all the copper is good for I mean, April is actually, she's doing this one meditation where it's the idea of becoming a magnet, and they talk about a copper coral or coil.
Right. Yeah.
So I was thinking, you know, the idea of living in that house could do nothing but enhance productivity and, you know, attracting what we wanted, but mostly money too as well.
Right.
It's kind of surprising. There's nobody living there now. Makes wonder what happened to those people.
Yeah. That sounds really cool. Is that in Manitou Springs or Colorado Springs?
That's in Manitou Springs. I just happened to be going up on this thing, and I was going down by the park, and this is, I think it's on Washington Avenue, and there's actually an on ramp right there. It goes up, I think that goes up to 24 to go up through the pass, and I was coming down through, and they got a sign right there just where you get to the park, and it says house for sale. So I decided to ride my bike up there and just check it out and go, whoa. That was
cool.
A nice house. And I went up on the whole thing and finally got a hold of somebody.
Hmm. Whoops. Hello?
No, I'm here. Yeah, I'm just pausing. I was just taking a deep breath, guys.
Oh, okay.
So, take a break.
I thought you died on us. I thought I was going to say,
no,
oh,
I was...
did your son go dead?
No, I was sitting there looking at the situation and saying, I was talking to April. We had to switch things because she was on her phone in the car, but now she had to change things. I'm talking to her on Skype, and she can hear, but not really. So.
Oh, no.
So I was sitting there writing something back there because she said something to me. So I was trying to be rude.
Wow.
But with the situation.
Trying to do the, I know.
I cannot type. I don't like typing.
Cannot type and talk at the same time. I can't either. Not if I'm saying something different than what I'm typing, because what comes out of my mouth ends up what I type. So.
Well, I was expressing something in my mind, then I got to take it from my mind and write it down, which I'm not used to doing. I'm used to just saying, hello, this is how I feel. Thank you.
Right.
But, yeah, it was a nice house. It was actually, I took pictures of a bunch of houses up there. Let me see a couple more. And then, actually, it was kind of funny. Some of the houses I wish they were for sale when I was looking at the other house. I mean, and April was here for a little bit. And we went up on Ruxton Avenue, and I found these other houses that I was hoping they would become for sale, and that they are. So that's kind of confusing. That's confusing because I'm sitting wishing something would be for sale. Now it is.
Now it is.
Well,
there
we
go.
Yeah. So I got these pictures, and I like choices.
And
then the
lady listening to you.
Well, the lady also who showed me the house, and she asked me to get, did I want a list of all the places that were for sale and available in Manitou Springs? And I said, yeah. And she gave me like 3 pages. I just haven't really had a chance to check them all out. But I was like, I'm getting all this response to the point where now I'm getting really confident that I might actually have this house. Before a year is up, I mean 12 months. I'm looking at between 6 to 7 months of actually being in a position of getting that house, if that's the house for me.
Right.
And like I've always said and told April too, it's just one of those things where I have a tough time manifesting houses. I think the reason is because every time I try to manifest a house, I'm single. And then I got with her, and the next thing you know, all these things started falling into place. And that place, when I was up there before, I was looking in the window, and I could actually see all of our books and stuff in that one house already. So that was a vision that I would just love to see become a reality. So, you know, when you see those visions, I think they're visuals to help you to use your imagination to even manifest it even quicker. So I got really confident with that whole thing as a definitely obtainable goal.
Yeah. Really excellent. That's, yeah. What's really amazing is like you are one of the few people that I really, you know, that I personally know, that it's like your ability to manifest, it's like you've really taken the secret and it's like, and you know how to do it. And I'm like going, you know, you could probably teach classes on this, you know, to the rest of us who are still working on those kind of things. You know, like Rhonda Byrne gave us the, you know, the kind of overview thing. And it's like, yet there has been a lot come out. I mean, Joe Vitale came out with stuff, you know, and I think just about all the presenters have done spinoffs on that. And it's like, and I'm still working on how to manifest 101, you know. But you do it really well. It's like, you know, you bring stuff in and focus on it and it comes in. And I'm going, okay, is this because you're in Eight of Clubs, you know, the psychic birth card or what, you know? You just seem to manifest really well.
Mm-hmm. So let's keep going again. I keep forgetting we actually had a chat room going on, too.
Oh, no. Well, I think everybody snoozed in there, including even me, because I haven't been chatting. It's like, yeah. Before I came in, it's like, it was Vicky Lady. I was going, oh, I know her. It's like, she's in Arizona, but actually she's got family. Like, two of her daughters live just right up the road in Nampa. So we got the chatting one day after one of the sessions, and I'm like going, it was pretty cool. I was like going, oh, I haven't seen her. It's like, and then she was like, oh my goodness.
Right. Mm-hmm. Let's see here. Someone did IM me, but then again, by the time I got back to it, they were gone.
You know,
that little thing at the bottom that says, have left the room.
Yeah, it's like we're not seeing that one. Yeah. Either that or they're getting kicked off. It's like what we've been experiencing on the shows is like it's been dropping people. I mean, it's like Blog Talk Radio they're dropping calls, and they're dropping people out of chat. And it's just like, and you know, people will log back in like two or three times and go, we got kicked out. It's like, we didn't do it. And talk to Blog Talk, you know. Anyway, yeah, I'll say the hello here. Oh,
wow.
And you got any guests in?
No, I was actually trying to get back to the studio. Okay.
Oh, wow, no.
No, one of my computer separate. The last one I had was a little bit different, a little better. Because I was on, what is it called? I can't remember. It's a different that one. What's it called? Oh. Anyway, when I go in there, I can actually split the screen a little bit differently.
Oh, wow.
So therefore, I can actually see both at the same time. It's uneasy.
Oh, that's cool.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and apparently somebody are in different time zones. There's somebody who says, good night, everyone, time to go to bed. Carol, you know, goes,
yeah, no,
so
that's
that one. Like, yeah. That must be you. If they're 2 hours, if she's out on Eastern time, that's like 10 something out there. They're a couple hours ahead of us.
Yeah, it's about 10:35, somewhere in there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, exactly.
And Carol was five hours ahead of me. I know the time, I know the time difference between here and the UK because I have so many friends over there.
That's where she's at, in the UK.
Well, if you're in the Eastern time zone like I am, that's a 5 hour time difference.
Ouch.
Oh, I'll be darned. Wow.
That's crazy.
Oh my goodness.
Oh, yeah, you can drive at the freaking walls when you start looking at these things. Okay, what's up? But,
you got to get logged in 4050. It's like, what's your, you know, say, I'll type it in here. So it's like, what is call-in number?
Are you asking for the call-in number?
What's the call-in number?
646.
Whoops.
721.
646-721.
Where are we at the number? Okay, 646-721-9031.
9031. There you go. Okay, and this is to have a reading. See if we can get him to not be shy. Let's say hello, guest. Let's just guess 40, 50. I'm trying to figure out how they do this. How do you get it like that? Like, you know, when people log in, you know, to the guest. I don't know, it's 46.
Yeah. Well, I'm sitting here going, whoa, nobody else is in the queue. Well, look at the chat room.
Everybody's queueless now.
Are you
there
queueless
are some guests
now?
That are kind of like it.
Yeah, Donnie's queueless now.
Well, some people come in and they go freaking fruitcake. So there's they came in the last part of the show. There's like 20 some minutes left. And we got two guests that just came in. We got all kinds of stuff going on. So that was kind of weird. So call in for a reading. Call in for a reading. So Kelly.
Yep.
Have you been doing your card readings and stuff?
Yeah, I've actually, we actually got to a point where Jethro covered for me for about 2 weeks, and I think it about drove me in buggy, because then by the time I got to a place, I'm doing them out in the laundry room. My son-in-law allowed me to set up my computers and my phone out in the laundry room, so it's like, yep, when it's showtime, I disappear in the laundry room. It's like a little bit separate from the rest of the house, so it's like a little bit quieter. So, yeah, I'm on, like, I do the Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursdays. I'm on at, like, noon, you know, noontime, noon to 1 or noon to 1:30, or I don't know if I feel real ambitious, noon to 2, something like that. But we got a gal on, this Amy Kavanaugh, and she's, ironically enough, back in Florida, and she's doing, she's been doing, like, a chakra, like, just a chakra class, like, on, you know, on her time frame on Wednesdays. So it's like she started out with the red, orange with the yellow. So it's like she was supposed to do the fourth one for us on Wednesday, so logged in, you know, there was like, you know, 90 minutes, hadn't heard from her, didn't know what the heck was going on. So about halfway through the show, about 45 minutes, I was kind of punting along through there and said, well, we're supposed to be, you know, having this. So I talked a little bit about what I knew about chakras and this and that. And we had one of the callers, or one of our kind of regulars that joins in. It's like, she comes in the chat and she goes, I guess she picked up Amy's message on, like, Facebook or something. It's like, Amy was trying to get a hold of me because I don't go on Facebook a whole lot, but this other gal does. And she goes, Amy gave me a message on Facebook to get you in touch. It's like, the water ruined her phone. Apparently, in the floods in Florida, the water ruined her phone and her car. So she is currently afoot and homeless. Like, that is kind of rotten because she works with the Wikiwachi Water Ballet. She's one of their mermaids or whatever, so... Anyway, she was having all kinds of fun there, and it's like, and then what was really funny tonight was the gal that came on with Jethro tonight was Asandra Green, and she had Florida water for sale. It's like, Amy was in chat, and she goes, I've got too much Florida water. I guess they had that monsoon Debbie or whatever it was came in, and I know I was kind of cracking jokes and saying, well, you know, it's like if we could move Hurricane Debbie or whatever it is over to Colorado, we'd have steam, you know, it's like Florida would be rid of their water, and Colorado would have, you know, all the water they needed, and it's like, it'd be nice. But so, yeah, and then Tuesdays and Thursdays is just kind of, you know, catch as catch can. It's like we had a gal last week that went through a Native American sweat lodge, like, earlier in the year, and she came on and shared her experience, and it was really, really cool. It's like I've always wanted to do a sweat lodge and never have, you know, kind of gotten around to it, one of those things. And so she came in, and it was free. All she had to do was she just had to drive, like, you know, 2.5-3 hours from where she was at to get to it. But she said they did, and, you know, they had to bring food. It was kind of a potluck thing and on a donation basis and that kind of stuff. So worked out pretty good. It's like, and she really had an amazing experience. So I was like, wow, that's pretty cool. Anyway.
Is Tristan reading?
What's that?
I was wondering if Tristan was doing anything on
Tristan, I don't remember her last name.
No, we haven't. Yeah, the bishop. Yeah.
I'm not sure what's going on with her. It's like, I really haven't. It's like the only way I had to get a hold of her was, like, through Skype. And then it's like where I'm currently at, it's like I'm kind of, I can't you know, like talk to her or whatever, I guess, because I don't have the right, you know, I don't have, like, the not the webcam, but the microphone thing, you know, set up or anything like that. So it's like, and I haven't heard from her. It's like, I guess she talks to Jethro every now and then. It's like, last we kind of knew was she was having issues with something with her Social Security disability. And it's like, other than that, it's like, don't really know. It's like every time, you know, when I'm on, she'll, like, pop on for about, like, you know, maybe 5 minutes max. And when she realizes it's me, she pops off. And I'm like, okay, no idea. I have no idea what's going on with that. I don't know, I guess she was...
She's got a lot of issues going on. She and I were friends for a while, and I just had to say bye.
Wow.
She had a lot of issues. She went off on me. And we had quite a go-around on Yahoo, because we were quite close.
Oh, wow.
And she just went off on me on something, and I finally just had to say, you know, bye. I can't do this.
Wow.
I was just surprised. I mean, she just, for no reason at all, just because I asked her a simple question just to get somebody else's point of view, because I wanted to send a song to someone, but I wasn't sure if it was too soon to send this particular song, and all of a sudden I was just getting lambasted. Like, I'm out here in La La Land and don't know what's going on. Excuse me?
Oh, wow.
The one person, and after she had said how great this guy was and everything, and all of a sudden it was like, wham. I didn't even know where she was coming from. I was just totally unreal.
Wow.
Now,
yeah, I don't know. I know she lives in Florida someplace. That's all I know.
Yeah, she does live in Florida. No, I met her through Jethro, and then I haven't heard from Jethro in a coon's age. Last time I talked to him, I got the brush off, so okay, you know, what's going on? I have no idea.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I know.
Weird.
He's been really running stressed with a lot of things. Well, it's like, because he had a death in the family, and it's like that's why after I got set up here, I kind of ended up, you know, it turned out really good timing, because I ended up, like, covering him for a couple of weeks. It's like, he just, you know, even when you're psychic, you know, when somebody really close in the family, like, dies, it's like, even though you can still, like, you know, still talk to him on the other side, it's not quite the same as, you know, talking, being able to pick up the phone and talk to him in the physical, you know, type of thing. So,
oh, of course.
It kind of, you know, kind of threw him for a bit of a loop. So it's like, yeah, everybody, you know, has that experience. So it's like, yeah. Yep.
And we all got that shit.
Absolutely. I ran across this one really cute thing. It was a picture of two penguins, and it said, everybody has baggage. The important thing is to find someone who loves you enough to help you unpack yours. I was like, I'm tagging that one. I'm taking that one.
Yeah, that's a good one.
It is. I know. I said, well, let's see. I have about, I'm down to 5 storage units now, so it's like, I'm getting better. Right. I only have to find somebody who's willing to help me unpack 5 storage units of stuff. It'll be fine. Oh, really silly thing. I was like, I'm not really at this point in my life. I'm kind of sort of not looking. It's like, I've got enough other stuff going on. It's like, I sort of kind of misplaced some important paperwork. My own dad died this year, and it's like, I had these two little strong boxes, and I knew kind of sort of where they were in my storage units, or I thought I did, and why they're in Walsenburg somewhere. And I'd kind of forgotten, and I kind of had this blank out moment where I'd forgotten we had about 5 people in one day who were just, you know, really helping me and helping me move stuff and whatever. And I think one of them very helpfully was, you know, picking up things, you know, smaller things and relocating them up, you know, to someplace else and higher. And it's like, so when I got back down there, because we ended up making 2 loads out of Walsenburg, and it's like, I could not find my dad's important papers box. So his ashes are still in Florence, because I haven't found the 2 little strong boxes. He's got one of those, like, you know, death benefit certificate things. So I'm going, yeah, I'm going to have to, like, go through and find, you know, I wish I could go psychically locate those. It's like, that would have been really, really helpful. But it's like, we literally spent, like, 3 days out of those storage sheds just, you know, loading stuff and going through stuff, and I could not find the doggone things to save my life before we came out here. So I went, okay. So I called. What's that?
We have a caller on the queue. That's what I'm sorry, guys.
All right. Go for it.
Stick around and answer a question. You never know. You might have the answer.
Alrighty.
All right, here we go. It's like area code 305 is spinning. There we go. Yay.
Hey, Michael. I just turned on, and you're only. Oh, you have 11 minutes left to the show. Is your? Did you? How's your life working out?
That's a good question. And
hello, Michael. I'm glad to meet you.
I'm saying the same thing too. I was like, okay, who's Michael? I'm Michael. I'm not Michael. But
psychic journey man.
Okay, my name is Donnie.
Sorry, Donnie. Yep, right. Donnie.
And you.
Oh, I was just thinking about Archangel Michael. Sorry.
That's okay. That makes perfect sense because earlier I was actually watching the queue, and as I blinked my eyes, I could see purple, which I don't see it now. But I think
okay.
It was a some things that were going on at that moment, and I needed some
guidance.
Something to resurge on that whole thing. So boop, there it was, and I'm like, hello, how are you,
Michael?
So,
yes.
Yeah.
Archangel Michael.
So how
good.
Are you?
And you're connected to him, so there it is. I'm good. I'm good. Somehow the sound is not coming through. I've tried refreshing and nothing's happening. But it's all right.
I don't know. Because we're using a different device than that thing. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Because, I mean, the thing I'm using for my communication is I've never had any problems with.
Okay.
So the radio is dropping calls and there's been all kinds of technical crap. So go ahead.
It comes on and it drops. So a lot has progressed in my life since I last talked to you.
Mm-hmm.
And I just wanted to say it's nice to see you up here again.
Yeah, I actually took some time off because of freaking migraines and I'm feeling really, 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 I don't know. It was one of those things that just takes some time. And I've been reconnecting with other working, just doing readings and stuff instead of doing the show. And then Dee's been doing the show from time to time.
Okay.
And then tonight I was just like, okay, and April came here, and she was here for a while, and then some things with that situation were kind of like not the way I'd like them to happen. So there was some things, like I call it, variables to deal with.
Mm-hmm.
So that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
I was talking to a friend of mine, and I was actually going to my shop, and I was like, I like to shop in there. I like to go down there and talk to her and get some insights, and then I just kind of drove on by. It's like, okay, I guess I don't need no guidance because my guidance is telling me to go home. So it was like, leave it alone, do the whole thing. And then next thing I know, it was one of those things that was reconfirming, saying, you don't need to ask anybody anything. You just need to sit there and look at the situation for what it is. And sometimes we got to look at things like maybe the advice and the guidance and what you're doing is around the money. It's just not being received. And so you got to let go. So you only can give the information. You can't do it for them, and then when they get angry about you giving it to them, it's time to stop. Because we were talking about this in earlier this show that I was doing some observations and some things I saw that I had a couple relationship situations where somebody had asked me to do something, as in giving motivation and advice, and then it turned around on me where she says, "You're trying to change me," and I'm like, "You know something, I am." Because that's what you said you wanted to do. I want to change. So I'm the motivator. Now I'm the person that's getting blamed. So I was like, okay, this is a person. Because the one thing I try to teach everybody is the idea, this is a person who's got issues. So we can't really go bad or good. It's the idea of a situation that presents itself that can only really actually give the person the answers unless they live it.
That's right. And the person who's in whatever they're in, to at the moment that's causing them joy or grief is also choosing that joy or grief until they're ready to say, I don't want the grief anymore. I only choose joy.
Yeah, and that's why I was sitting down talking to myself and saying, you know something, you're going through this stuff, but I'm not trying to be insensitive in no way, shape, or form, but I don't have to.
There
and
you go.
It's like looking at someone going, you know something, okay, you're sitting there saying, look at me, look what I'm going through, I'm hurting. And at the time as you're doing that, you're not paying attention, which probably you can't, but you also have to understand that what you're doing is affecting people. And, you know, like me personally, when it comes to relationships, I feel like people should make time every day for each other without no outside influences. And that wasn't happening. It was, you know, it was like, oh, this is important, that's important. And maybe it's my observation, and maybe they, like they said before, you know.
You have to only be the observer, though, Donnie.
Because I know, but
I heard
it,
what you were just. Oh, but I heard what I heard in your sentence. You said should. No, we can't even do the shoulds on people because they're not ready.
Mm-hmm.
Things happen in their time when it's their time. And all we can do is say, no problem. Enjoy wherever you are. Enjoy it. Because this too shall change.
Yeah, but then, you know, I'm just saying, when I centered the conversation, I just said, you know, this is, I'm very straight and very honest and said, this is how it's affecting me. I know it doesn't matter. Because you're doing what you're doing, going through what you're going through. I'm just saying everybody is.
Uh-huh,
so
everybody is.
Yeah, so you're looking at me going, you should understand me. I can't understand you. I can't understand you right now because you don't understand you.
Right.
So
right.
Go understand and do what you got to do. But I'm saying, one thing you have to understand with the situation, I've done this with a couple of girls where I said, you're pushing everything to the side in favor of you, and you say, I need to be free and independent. I say, well, okay, fine, but that's not a title. It's an action, and you're not doing it.
Mm-hmm.
You're telling me you're doing it. You're telling me that's what I want to do. And then this entrapment. I've seen this entrapment. I got my cards for a center saying a false sense of entrapment. April was here for a while, and then she left. And then I was baffled why she left. And she said, well, why are you baffled for? I said, well, you did 3 card readings. You talked to your guides, your angels. Everything I was getting was the same thing, that you should stay. And you still left. And even you said yourself, maybe I should learn to follow my heart more. So all these answers were coming out. And so I said to her and said, she must be in denial. She goes, no. That's the funny thing. It's like a comedy act. I'm not in denial. No, not me. I'm not in denial. No. I'm sitting there going, I'm not even going there, because it was just so funny to watch itself play itself out. But the more the actions play themselves out, the more, you know, actions have a tendency to play out the truth. And that's exactly what was going
Absolutely.
On. So I sit here and look at a situation of a person. I look at her in the face. I look at her spiritually and everything else and see nothing but love.
Right.
Who she doesn't want to. This is the first time I've ever seen this, that a person would actually deny certain things because of their destiny. Because in the process of accepting their destiny, then what they know has to be pushed to the side in favor of history, but also in the process of them obtaining their dreams, they have to let go.
Right. Well, she's not alone. There's many people on the planet now who are still holding on to illusion. And between now and the end of the year, we have the time to face the fears, to face the insecurities, and realize that these are old tapes that have been with us for eons, which were ingrained into us and were not born with us. We were taught these things. And the teachings are going to be unraveling, and many people are going to be freed from their sorrows and their pains, which were all illusions. And you'll see more and more people will start waking up, because this is the path of where we're headed as a species on the earth.
Yeah, I know. It's kind of hard. I'll try to conceal it today when they said that. As soon as she goes through what she's going through, she'll realize that she's trying to make it out your fault, but she's the one that chose you. And
well, yeah, she's complaining to you out of fear. That's all it is. She's in fear. And that's where we have to have the compassion to understand that when people rebuke us and people get angry at us, they're only coming out of fear like a little child. And then you just step back and you let them swallow and drink as much water as they can, as much as they can when they are, because otherwise they're going to choke.
Oh, yeah.
And you're just more evolved, you know. You're just more experienced. You've just done more work on yourself. So
I did think it was kind of funny because I was sitting there, I wasn't trying to be mean. I was just saying, you're sitting here saying this is over and you're leaving. You get a plane ticket and you're out the door. But at the same time, you're expecting me to let you stay here until a week later you leave. And I said, I can't do that.
Good for
you. I said, you made a decision to do something, and so therefore, you need to get a hotel. Now, I told everybody that when it all came down to actual decisions being made, you know, I sit there and let down my resistance. For some reason, I felt like my guidance said, let your resistance down with her, and let her just stay here, because she found a solution where she left the next day. And then actually, the night before she left, was a fantastic night of just us together, which I hope makes a difference in this situation, but time will tell, they always say. Which
right, time will tell.
Yeah, somebody came in the room one night and said, if patience is a virtue, then bite my ass. I'm sitting there going, okay, there's a person working on patience.
But then we have to ask ourselves, why did you create her? And what are you gaining out of it? And what are you learning from it? And karma's over, so now what is it all about? Those are the things that you can ponder.
I was sitting there looking at the situation because she would come back and she would look at me and she goes, we're not really compatible. And we actually came up with this different scenario. I was sitting there talking about twin flames. I saw her in the chat room when she was working on a random, and I was sitting there going, she said, someone asked her a question about twin flames. And she said, I don't know. You should ask someone else about twin flames because I'm not even sure I believe in twin flames again.
Mm.
And I was sitting there going, denial? We have to go and denounce the existence, so therefore we don't have to take in any kind of consideration of the information that we have. So I sit there, so I was on the show, and she said it too. She goes, if twin flames come together, it should be a beautiful thing. I'm sitting there going, in a perfect world, you're right. But this is not a perfect world, okay?
Yeah.
In this world, twin flames do come together, but they also reflect where they're at that moment.
Okay.
And when she came here and we had this thing here, I think the biggest problem was, and I've also come to the next step and say, what they need to do is to realize at one time and realize what's going on is real. But now they have to learn, which is, I think it's still the learning process of spiritual growth, emotional growth, that they have to learn how to mesh again.
Mm-hmm,
to actually,
mm-hmm.
there's the sense of they complement each other, but if they're also identical, they're going to clash, and they have to learn, you know, compromise and cooperation. So I was sitting there telling her, I said, you're sitting there saying, right now she was like, I don't think we're really compatible because, you know, twin flames should be getting along a lot better. I said, who told you that? You know, you all thinking roses and flowers and stuff. And I said, soulmates and twin flames reflect. And so if you learn, you know, there's still learning to be done. So she said, well, I don't think you guys are compatible. Or she said that. I said, oh, really? Two stubborn people clashing, butting heads. I don't think so. I think it's actually a confirmation of two people who are what they are, twin flames, who are trying to deal with the situation of their own emotions, their own feelings, the way they have things, where they do things, where they came from, and trying to let those go in favor of what's going on.
Right.
And she just looked at me with this blank look on her face, and I'm thinking, okay, to me that's good. I mean, she's listening. There's something there that she latched onto. And the other day I got mad at her, and she said, first she said, we're back in a relationship. I said, okay, so you're going to go back on Facebook and put up there to your relationship? And she said, no, I want to be free and do whatever I want to do. And I said, okay, have a nice life. Bye.
Mm-hmm.
Don't talk to me. Don't ever sit there and say another word to me. I said, you know something? You say you want to be in a relationship and you say you want to commit yourself? Okay, think about that again. I think there's something to be learned here. And I just said, I'm tired of getting hurt by you. I'm tired of like thinking this. So I said, I'm not doing it no more. I'm walking away. So leave me alone and don't touch. Don't just bye. I'm tired of this whole thing. When you finally get past this point of playing games and all kind of stuff, then contact me. And I cut everything off. I cut Skype. I blocked her on Facebook. I blocked her on everything. And several hours later, she texts me and says, I miss you. I want a relationship. So I said, okay. So I went back and said, I got to think about it. And then I text back again and said, are you willing, are you going to commit? And she said, yes. And to tell you the truth, to the point, you know, to a lot of things that are going on, she realistically has done, she's still being this rebellious, mean ass, where every time I try to talk about, because I mean, me personally as a relationship counselor, I still think communication and vulnerability is important. And if somebody sits there and cuts you off in the middle of a conversation and starts talking about something else, they're still in denial. They don't want to hear what you got to say. Doesn't matter if it's good or bad.
I think there's too much work. For me personally, what's going on, there's too much back and forth games going on. I mean, I'm past all of that in a relationship.
Yeah. That's what I talked to her today. I told her, you know something?
She's a lot younger. I know in her physical body she's a lot younger. And her astrologically, her planets are different. She's going through different cycles. And I think that all needs to be taken into consideration. And she's perfect for where she is, for her age bracket, astrologically speaking.
Yeah, she was on the show tonight for a bit. And then,
well, that's more than the last time that when I talked to you, you said.
Yeah, because I'm trying to, I was sitting there talking to a friend of mine going, I mean, I said, it might sound like a crazy question, man, but I said, I'm trying to, everybody says I need to cut the cords. There's a cord to my throat. We're both tapping into certain things in each other. Personally, I think she's tapping into my stubbornness, and I'm tapping into hers. And somebody sitting there told me about your throat chakra.
Mm-hmm.
She said, there's a cord up around your throat chakra, and I think what you need to do is that I think you need, and I think it's true too, I need to stop being verbal and just let her go.
Yeah, I agree.
Because as soon as I told her I didn't want nothing to do with her and blocked on everything and gave her some time to think about it, and then she was a totally different person. She came on a random and came in my chat room and said, Journey, she goes, I love you, Journeyman. I was like, okay, thank you. But that was pretty spontaneous.
You still have an attachment to the relationship. And I guess only when we finally release the attachment, you can see whether it's real or just a curious illusion, delusional situation.
She seems to make herself notice at work. Because I told her today, she was in my chat room on a random, and I said, I'm sorry, I'm not trying to be, I said, it's like this. I said, I've asked you a question 3 times. You're doing something else. And I said, I'm sorry, but when I go in your chat room, I'm only there for one reason, to be there for you. Not to do work on a rant, not to do work on my website, not to talk to my clients or nothing like that. I solely come in there for you. And I was trying to talk to another friend of mine. I said, okay, am I being wrong at looking at a girl as I'm talking on her Skype? And they said, this is our time together on Skype. And that she's talking to some other guy on the computer, and she said they're just friends, and she's trying to get some insights on her work and that kind of stuff. And then she's on a website. She's working on her website, and she's doing all this stuff. And I look at her, and I say, could you please just give me some time? Give us some time without any outside influences. And she said, I'm multitasking, and I don't think you have the right to tell me that. And I said, I'm sorry, sweetie, but this is rude. And, you know,
okay,
I don't
think she doesn't want the same thing that you do. Doesn't sound like that. You just are like another finger on the hand. You want the hand, and she sees you as just the finger, and now all of a sudden that finger's missing, and now she's getting nervous because it sounds like there's a little bit of manipulation going on here.
On whose part?
And then you feel love because now she's coming back to you, but is it really love? Because
I think when she was, I think when she was here, what her problem is she was so caught up in infatuation. That's what her image is love.
Well,
and then when she
why
came
is that
here,
a problem? Wait a second. You said the word problem. There are no problems. So why is it a problem for you?
Because that's
now,
what
wait.
She said.
No, but that's what you are. She's your reflection. So if you're, I'm going to put it out there, and I don't believe in this. If you're blaming her for her infatuation of you, then you have to ask yourself, okay, this is how she is, and it's not working.
Oh.
So all of a sudden you have to say, wait a second, if I'm seeing that in her, I have to say, Donnie, why am I infatuated with this woman if I'm seeing that in her? Is that a reality?
I understand that, but I'm saying this is the conversation. She was talking to me. She was saying, she goes, right now, I don't want to deal with love. I want to still hang on to infatuation.
Oh.
Okay, that's what I'm saying. That's what she told. She said she didn't say that.
Oh.
And I'm sorry, guys. I got a photographic memory. I don't forget nothing. And I was sitting there listening to her say, she goes, infatuation is what I got. So I don't really want to deal with love and a boyfriend. I want to deal because that makes perfect sense, because she said she's infatuated with this other guy. And I was like, okay, what I'm saying is the conversation I'm having with you is she came here and we had a totally different, both of us had a different thing of looking at situations, that we actually had a real relationship with two people. Because I did notice one thing, that when she has a problem, she goes right to that computer. That's where that's her sanctuary. She hides there. And now if you sit there and watch her business goes solely through the computer. She doesn't take any calls on her phone anymore.
Okay.
So she's hiding again. So I said, okay, fine, you do that. I said, but I told her flat out, you want me to sit here and wait until you figure things out? I said, I got things to do too. So I'm figuring my things out too. But I said, it's like this. If you're really not wanting to accept this for what it really is, it's not going to stick around forever. It's going to move on.
See,
and I said,
I just think you're trying to create a relationship that doesn't want to be created. You.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe so.
You believe that this is more than what it really is, and maybe the things that you connect to are great, but love shouldn't be like that. Love isn't
okay.
like that. You have to push it and shove
well,
it.
Just cut the slack on the whole thing and say, okay, in your opinion, from what you know in the situation, because the thing I've been trying to figure out realistically is what direction to go into. Because every time I sit her and talk to her, she, if it gets too much about relationships and working out any problems, she diverts the conversation. I mean, right there. I mean, it's like crazy watching somebody go right into a different subject as you're sitting there going, I didn't even finish the sentence, and she's like going on something else. So I'm sitting there going, okay, what do I need to do? And it is a hard situation that you're looking at somebody saying, because I've already had three people say that you need to just work on you and let her go. And I was like, okay.
I would agree with that, Bonnie.
I agree with that, too. I don't think she's the one.
No,
the one who wants to be with you. Yeah, the one that wants to be with you will be with you, period. The one that wants to be with you will be with you, will make time for you, will recognize you as precious, will recognize you as special. They will post you in their heart and won't call you. They'll chase you. But she's not chasing. She doesn't care. She's just seeing you as another knot on her notch. And she's jiggling you around like a doll. You know, and I wouldn't want to be around with somebody like that who doesn't respect me, who all of a sudden, oh, I got another call. Will you hold on? Screw that.
Mm-hmm.
You should be number one, not number three.
Or five, or ten.
No, when someone says they'll talk to you later, I should sit there and go, okay, then you'll call me later. If you don't, then there won't be no conversation.
And if they don't call you, it's fine also.
I know, that's kind of funny the night when my sibling cut everything
that's
off
right.
and she was like, well, he's going to give in, and then all of a sudden
who
I didn't give
that?
In, and she was like,
who says that?
Oh, I could hear her talking, so I was like, okay, and she
it
probably
could be
said,
your
oh.
own self talking.
That's true, too, but you know something, my guide keeps saying one thing, the idea of guidance is something that most people go to find out, but then there's other people who have a tendency to really trust themselves.
You have
and,
to trust yourself. Yeah, and if she's a soulmate for you, which, as you know, we have many soulmates, and we have many journeys with many soulmates, and we all
mm-hmm.
come in for a certain amount of time, and when the contract is up and we have done what we've had to do, you get subtle messages the whole journey, you know, and God will be screaming in your head, he's not the one, what are you doing, don't push it, and you're going, yep, I hear it, yes, I hear it.
Mm-hmm.
So whatever you're going through with this girl, you know, you could cry yourself to sleep every night, and I know, I've been there. And it doesn't turn around because that person says, this, what you get is what you get. And I'm saying, okay, and another 5 years go by, and I say, what the hell did I just do? What
mm-hmm.
did I get out of this? What did I learn? Okay, I learned how to release the illusion. I learned how to stand up for myself. I learned how to say, I'm over it, finally, before I wasn't. And now I've come to that place
mm-hmm.
where I no longer need to try to persuade someone. I took the mantle off my chest, Donnie. I said, I know it doesn't say anymore that give it to me. I can do it. It's easy for me. I took it off my chest. I'm not going to be doing that anymore. Everybody's got to find their own strength and their own conviction and their own time to stand on their own two feet. And you know what? You let go of this person, she might come back in a year and say, oh, man, I had an amazing trip. I really learned a lot, and I want to thank you for setting me free so that I could be on my path to gain knowledge and wisdom and experience. I don't think she's had enough experience. I think that's where you're blindsided. I think you
mm-hmm.
might be way in the future, and that mm-hmm. your intention is one of goodness and of love and kindness and generosity, but this girl still is not ready. She's turning around in circles, upside down and inside. And that's only maybe because of inexperience.
Mm-hmm. So what do you suggest? I should just break up with her and let it go?
Well, I mean, are you sure you're even together?
Yeah. What I'm saying is, to finalize the thing, should I take myself, put myself on Skype, because she's going to play the computer thing anyway. That's her communicational thing anyway. And just tell her, it's just to say flat out that I can't deal with it.
Deal with it is something that you're putting up with. And positive relationship, you know, isn't a deal with. When you're in communication with her, when you're talking with her, how does it make you feel inside? Are you, like, rattled? Are you saying, what the hell's going on here? Who the fuck is this woman? You stop yourself and you say, okay, what lesson is she giving me about me? What is she presenting to me about me? Where am I weak? Where am I confused? What am I learning about me? And don't even look at her. Ask yourself this and say to yourself, okay, what am I gaining out of this? What am I stripping myself of? What am I releasing myself from? What am I learning about me? Oh, my God. Oh, I see it. I see it now. Okay, I'm getting rid. Okay, well, I got it. And then it's going to all unfold naturally. And she won't trigger your chain anymore. She won't feed that fire anymore if it's all about you. If you wipe yourself clean of being a victim, being one who, of any deception that you might have for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Because once you shift, she's got to shift. She's no longer going to have that string around your neck and holding you like, come on, puppy dog, follow me around because I know you need me. I know you love me. I know you'll always be there for me. So I can poop on you now, but you'll still be there. You'll be my doormat.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're feeling attached to her still, you have to sit back and say, okay, when she calls me, do I get excited? How do I get excited? What is this excitement I'm feeling?
Mm-hmm.
Is it real love for myself? Am I happy when I hear from her, or does she make me crazy? Okay, if she's not making me crazy, I'm making myself crazy. How am I making myself crazy? That's how you have to ask yourself. Because you don't owe anybody anything, and nobody owes you anything, and nobody owes me anything, and I don't owe anybody anything. My life is here to live and give selflessly, mm-hmm. unconditionally, with parameters. And what happens is you start clearing out the slates of all the people around you who might be takers.
Mm-hmm.
And you have told me many times that you have a lot of those people coming into your world. And then you get the ones that don't have the strength inside themselves yet to listen mm-hmm. to the God within. And that's okay, because our job on this earth is to be reflections right now, to help everybody find their own path. But some people don't care to find their path, and that's okay. You're not their teacher.
All right. I'm just saying what the situation.
We're only talking about the situation. And when it comes up,